you'd like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Good afternoon, Talkback. You are up next with Ian Williams. Hello.
Good afternoon, gentlepersons. The reason that I'm calling is because I think that the average person with any common sense realizes that the United Nations has become as solid as cellulite. And I should know since I have some. But the reason that I'm calling is because I believe that a lot of the member nations that are against the United States are against us for the sole purpose that the State Department refuses the worldwide distribution of the Don and Mike Show. And
no, well, come on. This is one of our regular crank callers. You're very funny. Good afternoon, Talkback. You're up next. Hello. Come on.
Oh, good afternoon. How are you?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Made it on time.
No way.
No. Barely.
Congratulations
to everybody out there on the road.
Kiss my fat ass.
Jesus Christ. All that the skies have done have taken a leak on the roads. And here in D.C., it is wall-to-wall rush hour right now. It's a panic.
Right. Yeah, I think you got caught in an early exodus is what you got caught in.
So give me a moment, a little discombobulated. I feel like Mike in the old days. Literally, I walked in 1 minute before we went on the air.
You know what time I got here?
I said, Mike, in the old days. What time did you get here, Kimosabe?
I think I got here about, 7 minutes after one? Wow. I beat Rob today.
Wow.
I beat Rob here today. I have no faith in these people around here.
That's about the time I left my house.
I mean, there was no real reason for me to leave early. And there's no reason for anybody to leave early. I mean, it was wet? And I guess on some of the back roads now it's getting a little icy, but there's really nothing happening right now.
Did I do this thing? I don't think I did the phone thing. Do we have the new phone thing? We got a new phone thing? Let's hear the new phone thing.
When you see news breaking, wait 24 hours. Then don't call. The Don and Mike Show.
Bingo.
Right.
And now,
ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Well, no, duh, Ed. We've been here talking already.
It was funny when you walked in here. Because we all gave you a greeting, and you were still right in the middle of anger at the road situation, and then you had to gather yourself a little bit before you could even greet us.
This is so impossible to come right in, right off the road, after having been on the road, and God, I got to pee like a racehorse too. Really left my house today at 1:10 and thought leaving 2 hours. Nearly 2 hours before the start of the show for a 28-minute drive.
Uh-huh.
Hey, I thought my worst-case scenario, I'm going to have to wait in line at that Starbucks across the street. I'll kill some time if I had to.
Right, right.
And the problem is, on the side streets of the neighborhoods here in D.C., we've had some spritz, we've had some snow, we've had some ice, we've had some sleet. And
yeah, it's what they said. I want to give them credit so far. It is kind of a mixture of everything.
But it's nothing that's an ice storm.
Not yet.
Yes. It's nothing that's going to constrict your driving, but people feel the need to go 10 miles an hour.
Rob and I were discussing before the show that I believe he's right when he says the people that are going to get screwed, it's going to screw up our commute home tonight.
This is why you're wrong. It will not screw up our commute tonight because there will be...
Yes, it will.
Hey, no, it won't. No, it won't. You know why it won't?
Why?
And that's why he pissed me off, too. When I called it,
I'm just having fun. I'm not
trying to... I know you are.
Because I know how I would be if I walked in 2 minutes before. Listen, I would be freaked out.
Every dumbass in this room, let me tell you something. The government in D.C. has shut down. They let everybody go. All of the schools are shut down early.
Not my kid's school. My kid's school stayed open today.
If you go out on the road, well, your daughters go to a non-public school.
Yeah, and they pride themselves on, I guess they went to school. It was one of those great situations for parents where they went to school and then they closed at 2 o'clock.
But it was
always terrific.
You remember my kid, the school that my kid went to, they prided themselves on the fact that it had to really be a blizzard before they would cancel school.
I think certain places, they do pride themselves on that. And and you know what I should mention? I should have mentioned this right away.
Why?
Both my daughters, honor roll students, and I'd like to give them a round of applause.
Mike, that's wonderful, but can I please just get out
of
the
Yes, go ahead.
Out.
I'm sorry.
And you mentioned it yesterday.
I'll bring it up again. I mentioned it to you. I didn't mention it on the air yesterday. Oh. I didn't mention it on the air yesterday.
I'm sorry. I just have to get this out.
I understand.
And I got so mad at Rob because I called him up like at 1:45, and I said, I was on Executive Boulevard.
Yes.
And that's normally a 3-minute drive.
Not far from
me. I said, I really don't think I'm going to make it there by 3 o'clock.
You took a left on Executive?
I came off Democracy.
Oh, you came off Democracy.
I had to peel off a Democracy because 270 was so backed up.
Understand. Ooh. Oh, boy, it's that bad, huh?
So I called him up thinking that he would have some knowledge of the situation, and he was like, hey, buddy, where are you? And I said, yeah. Hello, I'm on Executive Boulevard. I don't think I'm going to make it there in time. Yeah, well, I bet you make it in time. I'll have everything set up for you. Obviously not feeling the urgency that I felt.
Right. Well, he let me know. When did you speak to him?
Like at 2:45.
Okay. So he let me know about 5 minutes later.
Well, I got everything set up. I tried to serve as a calming influence.
Rob just comes in.
Don's not going to be here. He's going to try to be here on time, and I just ambled down.
You just can't get stressed with Rob. You can't get stressed out, because if you get stressed out with Rob, we would both, in the course of a month's time, we would both kill him.
So I leave my house at 10 minutes after 1 o'clock for a 3 p.m. radio show. Once I get out of the neighborhood area and get onto the Beltway, the 8-lane death strip, where there is nothing but wet pavement, it's like rain at best, and it's misting.
Mm-hmm.
People are stopped down, and they're doing 0 miles an hour.
Wow.
And there was one guy, please bear with me, and I'll get this right out of my system. We've all seen a guy like this when the weather is really not imposing, and I know the people out there saying, you should drive slow, it's a good thing to slow down. Well, I eat my shorts. I was late getting to work today. People are pissing me off. Just at least go the speed limit. If the speed limit's 30, go 30. Right. Don't go 15.
Right.
But there was some ass driving over the American Legion Bridge in the far left-hand lane. This is a 4-lane mega, an 8-lane mega bridge.
Right.
It goes over the Potomac River.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was on in the left-hand lane, the fast lane, and he was going about 30 miles an hour.
Which they say is just as dangerous as the overconfident. The underconfident people and the overconfident people are the ones that cause all the accidents.
Right. What this guy was doing was making sure that he had a good 10 car lengths between him and the car in front of him. And how would he do that? Could you say, how could he do that?
How could he do
because that? Because when someone like myself would get into the second to the left-hand lane and speed up and go to 46 miles an hour, suddenly this douchebag hits the gas.
Of course.
So he maintains his position just to my left.
Because he's underconfident, and he is going to cause accidents. He is going to cause more accidents, and it's the same way with the people that have four-wheel drive vehicles that feel that they can go too fast.
And I also got the call from my girlfriend. Really, it's just the lucky stick. I leave my house at 1:10. It's like 2:15, and I have just gotten off the highway, the first exit towards the radio station, and she calls me up, and I pick up the phone, and I was very curt with her. I said, yes, what? And she said, oh, I just thought I would tell you the power went off.
Oh, no.
I said, already?
Oh, my God. How?
The power's going off already? She said, yeah, I don't know what's going on. I said, well, I can't believe that a power line is down. Already, it's got to be some numbskull that was driving 10 miles an hour and drove into a pole.
Possibly, sure.
So I said,
well, that sucks.
I said, call the power company, even though other people on the street probably have. Please call the power company and tell them the power's off, right? Because now this, I'm also,
that's my greatest concern with this storm.
Yeah. In my head, I'm also flipping ahead now, thinking, okay, first I got to get to work on time. God damn these people. How come everyone's driving so slow? How come everybody's on the roads the same time as me? Then it's like, okay, when I do make it to work, getting home tonight, don't think it'll be a problem because everybody's on the road right now. Shouldn't be a huge rush hour at 7 p.m.
Right.
But now I get home, no electricity.
Yeah.
No electricity before the storms even really started.
Mm-hmm. That sucks.
So I said to her, did you call the power company? At least did you call and get the automated thing? And she said, I did better than that. I got a real person.
Ooh.
I said, great. What did they say? She said, they said they don't know what the problem is, and they said the earliest that it could be on would be 7 p.m.
Oh, my God.
Talk about a bummer every summer.
Yeah, but 7 p.m. is when, like, the real ice storm, if we're going to get it, is going to hit.
That's what I believe the forecast
says. But it could be snow and it could be rain.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it could be any of
could
these
be
things.
Anything.
And sleep.
You should stay here.
In the old days, Rob, we've had that discussion before.
Well, we were all scoping out the restaurant across the street, you know, for just this type of circumstance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
But I think we're all going to brave it tonight.
Yeah,
well, I think we're all going to give it the old college try.
I'm going to be stranded anywhere. I'm going to be stranded in my house not full of electricity.
Preferably.
I'm going to be stranded in a hotel with electricity with all you guys.
You know what? We've grown older. It doesn't have the same. There was a time. You and I would love that scenario.
You know why? Let's be honest.
What is it?
Because it gave us a chance to get away from our wives for a night,
yeah,
to stay at a hotel,
uh-huh,
to get drunk,
right,
to just have a party night during the week. Mike and I would pull this on our wives. Oh, my gosh. If there was a threat of snow, we played that card so many times.
But in fairness to us, it really did ensure that we were there,
yeah,
for the morning show. And this is back when we really had to be there. You know, we had to be there because it was the kind of show where we did all the information and all
that. It also ensured, no, we didn't do the information. David Haynes
did the information.
It also ensured the fact that the top floor of the Keybridge Marriott would be occupied for an entire night.
We had some good times. Good times. Good times.
Yeah, we used to use the weather as an excuse.
Mm-hmm. We loved it. It was our fun. It was a chance to say, that was back when you and I were so nude to making any kind of living that we like staying in fancy hotels. And the Keybridge Marriott was a super deluxe fancy hotel to us.
Yeah, sure. Call Topper Short. Okay. Let's find out what he's got to say.
I'm sure he'd love to talk to us, and I'm sure he's been very busy. They've been cranking over there since 4:30 this morning.
From WUSA Channel 9. Find out exactly what's happening. So far,
I give the meteorologists a thumbs up. I think they've kind of been on top of it.
I just wish one of them would make a fist.
I don't think they can.
I watched 9 today, CBS 9,
yeah, right,
with Topper,
right,
with Topper, and with HB. They were tag teaming, and hey, they announced that Pan was there as well.
Tony Pan.
Perfect. No, he didn't get camera time, but they announced that he was there on set.
What was he doing? I was hanging out in case like one of them went down.
Getting Topper's costumes ready. I'm not
Find
sure.
Out.
Change
of outfit. We got Topper. Huh?
Here he is. Here's Topper's shot from WUSA 9. Hi, Topper.
Very funny. How you guys doing?
How much sleep, Topper? How much sleep did you get last night?
I had a fair amount. I had like 4 or 5 hours.
Oh, that's not bad.
Is that or is that not true that during the new newscast today, it was you and HB, and you both alluded to the fact that the third weather guy was there. He just wasn't on camera.
Yes. He never know how long it's going to take to get him from Baltimore. So he comes in, and he's going to do the tag team with me, a special of 4, 5, 6, 7.
Wow. There he goes. Gets the plug in for that right
there.
Right,
here we go. Topper shot on Channel 9. Watch him. He's a panic meister.
Hey, Tom, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
A couple weeks ago, we had that little clipper, and
yeah,
you said at my house, at your house, what would it be? And I said at 1 point. I said 1.3 or 1.6. How much was it? Did you measure?
You know, it was actually, I think, pretty close to what you said, wasn't it? It was something. I think I admitted that on the
air. You know
air.
What I
oh,
like?
Okay, good.
You
yeah.
know what's great about Topper? He remembers these things.
Well,
he
yeah.
remembers that you were spot on. You were very close with that. And I gave you props, you know, right at the beginning of the show that you guys are kind of on top of this.
You don't know what's
going to happen, but it's
I mean,
everything you said so far has been true.
They're as on top of it as you can be if you say we don't really know what's going to happen.
No, but I tell you what, it is. You're going to see just about everything between now and in the next 24 hours. You're going to see a major ice storm, Frederick to Hagerstown, major.
Okay. Major ice storm.
You're going to see flooding tomorrow morning, heavy rain in the district, south and east. Then you're going to see that heavy rain go to snow before ending, and that's going to be windy, and they're all going to flash freeze.
Oh, my God. Nice. Is that getting the panic up, or what?
Well, I mean, really, it is going to be a monster storm. In places where it's all snow, which is, of course, what I would like. Like in the Hudson Valley, we're talking 3 feet of snow with 50-mile-an-hour winds.
Where is that? Who lives there, though?
You know, I heard you mention my hometown, Hartford, Connecticut, last night.
Oh, yeah, Hartford. Mm-hmm.
And that's going to get
Hartford.
Hartford.
He said Hartford.
That's what we called it. I went to school there.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Trinity College.
You went to Hartford. You've said that before. Yes, you went to Trinity.
Yeah.
Is Hartford going to get whacked?
They're going to actually get some sleet, too, but yes, okay. I think they will get at least a foot and a half of snow.
Whoa. I know that's all important right. for your sweet mom.
Yeah, my 86-year-old mom. I want to make sure she's okay.
But more importantly,
you have someone to go over and shovel her.
Absolutely. Tommy French will go over there, no problem.
Her lover.
Okay.
Tommy French, her lover.
Mike, more importantly.
Don't hit me, Mike.
Did you send flowers a day ahead so it would miss the storm?
Oh, I didn't send anything to my mom.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
Just my kids.
Okay.
Sorry.
Topper.
Yeah.
The question that everyone wants to know.
Mm-hmm.
How much and when? Lay it on us. Come on. Here we go. Topper shot.
It's
an exclusive.
We've seen all the snow we're going to see around the immediate metro area until late tomorrow morning.
Wow.
That's it. It's going to be ice. It's going to be sleet. It's going to be rain.
Wah, 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 wah.
And then, we think tomorrow late morning when it kicks to snow briefly, it's going to scare people for a while. It's going to snow pretty hard, I think, for anywhere from 1 to 4 hours.
Wow.
Cool. Well, when will the bad snow happen? I want to set my watch.
I would say, like, you know, between like a 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., that time frame, depending on where you are.
Perfect. Perfect for us.
Yes. Yeah. Any chance that Mike and I get snowed in at our houses tomorrow or iced in?
Are you wimps? Huh?
Yeah, we are. Yes, we're very big wimps.
Okay,
we are.
Okay. No, I think you're going to be okay where you guys are.
I live on the bottom of a very, very steep hill.
There'll be some ice there, but you're going to miss the major ice storm. And it's going to be north of Fairfax and just north of Montgomery.
Okay.
All right. Then really nothing to worry. Topper, in your opinion, why do people drive like such friggin' lunatics at a time like now, when it's not necessarily a crunch time out?
It's not really even icy yet.
Don, I ask myself that every day. I don't know.
And you're bummed. I can tell by the tone of your voice.
I don't know. I mean, it is the temperatures, I got to say. Yeah, they were 34 at about 6 a.m. They're now 28 downtown. Mm-hmm. The temps have fallen. Some of the side streets will be tricky. And to be fair, we probably should give everybody a walking warning. I mean, don't kill yourself walking out to get the paper tomorrow morning. If, you know.
Hey, Topper, don't you guys feel stupid saying that on TV? Hey, folks, don't forget, you know, if when you go out to get your paper, don't forget, your feet are on the bottom of your legs. This is how you walk, and there's ice outside, and you might slip and fall on your ass.
No, I don't feel stupid, because I stopped telling them how to breathe. So, that's a legitimate thing. And if you're elderly, you know, you should find someone to get the paper for you and that sort of thing.
And so this is not, you know, the thing that was freaking me out, and I do get freaked out, more than a snowstorm, I get freaked out by an ice storm in the immediate metro. We're not going to get an ice storm in the immediate metro.
No. There'll be a little bit of icing, like, till, you know, 8 or 9 o'clock tonight, and then that will kind of slowly go away. But northwest of town, I'm telling you, Leesburg, Middleburg, Frederick, Hagerstown, it's going to be a bad ice storm. Then we're going to have 30-mile-an-hour winds tomorrow.
Yeah. And also, trees are going to come down.
Yeah.
All the towns we don't care about.
Okay.
Well, none of us live in those towns.
This is true. Right?
And that's really what everybody wants from the forecast now. In this day of digital, give it to me now, my iPod on demand.
NIMBY, Don, not in my backyard.
You're right.
Right.
You're right.
No prisons and only blizzards. That's what I want in my backyard. All right. Hey, Topper, thank you for your time.
You rock, Topper. Thank you.
Bye, guys. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Topper Short from Channel 9.
Always appreciate him coming on. It's always, you know, you and I need our meteorologist fix. We really, really do. So everything's going to be fine. I just don't understand why your power's out.
Neither do I. Now let's see how long it takes Jenna to get to the only hardwired phone in the house.
Did you pay the bill?
What?
Did you pay the bill?
I always pay the bill, baby.
Hello.
Hey, that
sounds good.
That sounds like a house under siege.
It sounds like there might be some ice on the line already.
Is the power still out? Hello?
Who is the mechanical voice?
Hello, is the power still out?
It is, sir.
Okay, all right.
It is, sir.
Oh, there the phone's better.
Yes,
hello.
Hi.
Whoa.
She just said it is, sir. Do you address Don as sir at home?
Always.
Yeah,
always. All right, I'll talk to you later. This sounds awful.
Well, I'm sorry.
No, not your fault. It's something.
Time.
Something screwy. All right.
She'll fix it.
My tongue with a 9-volt battery trying to get everything set up for tonight.
Did they really say on the... Well, of course they did. You told me that. That they said the earliest the power would be back on is 7 p.m.?
That is that is it being optimistic.
Mm. Oh. Did they give you any indication as to what was wrong?
No, only that the outage had been reported, mm-hmm. and that they were sending a troubleshooting team. Absolutely, see if they could identify the problem.
Troubleshooter.
Don't they know American Idol's on tonight?
Well, I tried to explain that to them.
We have a battery TV. We'll get by.
Good for you.
Yeah.
All right, sweetie. I'll see you tonight.
Okay, bye then.
All right, bye, honey.
Okay,
bye. Bye-bye. Okay. No power at home.
Well.
Yippee.
Just another example. Another one of hundreds of examples of
the generator.
The generator.
Yeah, generator.
How many years?
You'll be watching.
How many
color?
Years?
The generator.
How many years? You got me with Tommy French coming over to shovel out my mom.
So to speak.
So to speak. You got me with that. And he said that when I had a full mouth of water,
yes,
too.
Did.
Very, very frustrating.
Well, it's the truth, Mike. Your mom is a handsome woman who has a lot of life left to live.
I believe he's in the will. I believe he's in the will.
There's a reason for that.
I don't know, but he's in the will. Good man, Tommy French.
Yep. Mary? I'm here to shovel your driveway. Why, Tommy, it's not even snowing.
Oh, my God.
Don't tell my son, Michael.
His French is given name or a nickname.
Shut up, Rob. Don't you file. I'll take it from him.
Hold on.
I won't take it from you. That's
one.
My mommy we're talking
Simply
about.
A joke.
Here.
I was joking about
you. I'll do a half an hour on Sharon if you want me to. Okay,
no,
watch out.
Hey, now.
Hey, yeah, there you go.
Listen, I don't have a dog in this fight because I hate my mother.
I love my mom.
I would just say that while he's there with her, maybe just having tea or whatever.
Yes.
Do you think at one point while they're locking arms in that champagne type way? Like,
right. Yeah, which I'm sure they're doing right now.
That she says, my son Mike, he's so bitter. Didn't you tell your? Didn't you tell me that your mommy told you over the weekend
yeah,
you're bitter?
She thinks I'm bitter. She thinks I'm bitter. Oh, it's a long story. I'd rather not talk about it.
I wasn't trying to push that.
I understand.
It's just bad that your mommy said you're
she
bitter.
She says I can be bitter sometimes. I can be a bitter person. And, you know, she's very accurate too. Mm-hmm. She knows that. She's such a sweetheart. She's just wonderful to everybody. And I'm much like everybody else on this show. I'm mean to everybody.
I guarantee you're the least bitter person in this room. Guaranteed.
Yeah, well, the three of us. Yeah. Right, Mike's humanitarian of the year.
Yeah. Like Albert Schweitzer.
But I have good days and bad days. But I heard that that Hartford's going to get whacked by the snowstorm. So who knows? But Topper sounded a little down because we're not going to get it.
That's why your mom's got the French guy,
Tommy French.
That's why your mom asks for French.
Hey, Dynamite.
Hello, Mr. French, as Rob said. Hello, Dynamite Show. What's up?
Hey man, I want to know what you guys are getting you guys bitches for Valentine's Day, man.
Well, now, if I said that, my bitch would know since she's, I think, listening to the show since I called her up a second ago.
Right. What about you, Mike? What are you getting your bitch?
I am going to keep that a secret as well. I will tell you what I did get her. I got her a little spa treatment already. I already gave that to her. To her over the weekend.
Very nice.
And I was actually looking at Valentine's in the drugstore today.
You know what Rob gave Carrie?
What did Rob give
Sock in the jaw.
sock in the eye.
What are you getting, Buzz?
Hey, is this the finger guy?
I'm not the finger guy.
Yeah, no, I don't want to reveal that just yet.
Oh, Rob.
Oh, have you not got anything yet, or did you get something for her?
I got something
works.
Hold on, Buzz. You don't actually have it on hand yet?
I'm not holding it in my hand, no, but it's on its way.
Do you have it at home yet?
Technically, no.
Ooh, that's dangerous. Yeah. Are you expecting
I did that internet thing you told me to do.
Yeah, I know what I'm going to do something like that. It'll be fine.
I'm worried, though.
Hold on now, both of you guys. When you order something on the internet, you know that you have to ask, you have to make sure that it arrives by a certain date.
I wanted it to be delivered on the date.
Right. And you can do that by email.
But now I'm worried about the weather.
The gift certificate by email.
Right.
Because all the products that I support one state, and all of my products that I give, gifts, come from Alaska. So I wanted to make sure, you know, and I never do Air Express, only Overland.
And me, Vermont, just because I'm so into the gay marriage thing.
Yes.
Yeah, and I love the syrup,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And the two go hand in hand.
We like green states. You and I like green states, that's
gay
why.
Marriage and sticky syrup, they go hand in hand.
That's why you've always supported Vermont, I've always supported Alaska.
Nope, I already got it handled. She's taken care of.
Good.
She's done. She's ready.
I got it covered
well on that, for goodness sake, with Frida for 25 years.
I got it covered because I already gave her the gift certificate to the little salon, mm-hmm. And that was already done. So now everything else is gravy, as far as I'm concerned.
Buzz?
She loves gravy, yes.
Mm-hmm. Before we talk about the fact that, and I'm sure a lot of people know this, that Jared and Kay Jewelers are owned by the same company, those bastards pitting one against the other while really... You know, if you make a choice in the matter, it's like Coke or Pepsi.
I'd be careful about how you throw that word around, Donna.
Said that lovingly, Mike.
Yeah, it's pretty fine people, I'd like to say.
They're loving bastards.
Both those companies, if there's one client that we don't want to alienate, it's jewelry stores.
They're loving bastards.
Commercials on this show.
Yes, I know, but Mike, we are in the target. We're in the dreaded target where they make you feel guilty.
Right.
And that's why I'm wondering, why Buzz, while I understand why he wants to be quiet about what he may or may not have gotten Marcia, has not already secured it in hand, had it in hand. Is it a perishable?
No, it's a gift certificate to a spa, if you must know. And I've already checked out the ordering. I know which item I'm going to order. And when I order, they will instantly send me the emailed gift certificate.
Oh, that's a bad one,
but no, it isn't. She'll be very pleased with that gift.
No, good gift, bad mistake to just give a woman something you've printed off the computer. What she wants is like some type of fancy card from whatever the salon is. If you just print her out like you would print out an airline ticket and say, here you go, honey, she'll probably wipe with it.
Well, I'll print it in color. And that could be fun.
What, the wiping?
Uh-huh.
Now,
that could be Valentine's-y.
Do you agree or disagree?
Do you think? Totally dependent upon the gift certificate.
Right.
An average gift certificate, if it was a gift certificate for, like, a box of chocolates, that's insanity.
Yeah, that's bad.
But if it's a gift certificate that's going to be, oh, my God, I get to use this for, and, you know, I'm sorry, but it comes right down to dollars and cents.
Right. Yes, but here's my point, though. Just hear me out on this. So you give her this thing that she wants, but when she opens it up, all she sees is a page like this that you've printed off the Internet.
Not if I print it on quality stock. But here's the deal. A gift certificate can be great if it's a high dollar amount.
Right.
It's a very nice looking gift certificate, and when printed on a nice card, that kind of high quality paper.
Okay.
Can I tell you what I did with my gift certificate, though?
Yes, please.
My spa thing was not a general gift certificate for a general thing. I actually specified,
so did I,
based on her information, all of the things that she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to get a professional facial makeup deal, and so I actually specified that on the gift certificate.
And I've already made my cards, of which there are several, and purchased candy. So I'm all set. Well, I'm sure you got it handled, though. I'm sure you got it handled.
And I'm not going to say what else I'm going to do, but it's going to be pretty darn special.
I just would feel awkward giving. It would be like if you printed out a receipt from Amazon.com and you put that in an envelope.
This won't be like that at all.
Oh, it won't? Okay, good.
This will look nice. All right, can I tell you, because it is special and everybody's going to know about it, because it's going to actually be, you guys don't even know this deal, but I'm going to let you in on a secret. Tomorrow morning, when Carla and I wake up, we are going to be live on Fox Channel 5, and Holly Morris will be feeding us chocolate fondue in bed. Yeah, I thought you'd be jealous. It's going to be spectacular. And the thing is, Holly will be in bed with us.
Yes.
Oh.
With a poodle pajamas. It's going to be lovely. And we are going to be taking little chunks of pineapple and dipping them in the hot fondue.
Oh, yeah.
And then when the chocolate cools to the proper temperature, so as to be still liquid but not in danger of burning anyone, we're going to rub it all over each other. Myself, Carla, and Holly.
Uh-huh. Holly Morris.
And then we will lick the chocolate off
the hyperactive poodle from Channel 5,
right,
who insists on wearing that big H on her sweaters like the L from Laverne and Shirley.
Right.
And Buzz,
yes?
I apologize. I'm sure you can pull that off.
Yeah, I think so.
You know what I mean? Jesus Christ, you are just...
I've been doing this a while.
You're the smoothest in the world. You could give a turd to your wife and she would say you're Prince Charming.
Exactly,
oh,
Don.
Buzz... He's wonderful, Buzz.
It's funny, on good stock. On Roman stock.
Quality stock.
Wonderful. You can do it on sheepskin.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's just years of living with Frida. I could picture Frida saying to me, oh, Buster, how much time did you put into this?
She wouldn't even know.
Oh, you really printed this? You went all the way upstairs? You went up a flight of stairs to go upstairs and print this out on the computer for me? I mean, I'm sorry. I'm hearing the voice of Valentine's Day past.
I understand. But if the dollar amount was right, right? I mean, it would still be.
No, you know. Listen, and again, I'm going with Frida here as my subject.
It's the thought and the care, right? That's put into it.
That was a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
That she really would say to me all the time. You
right.
know, it doesn't matter as long as it comes from the heart.
I remember she was. She could be tough on you when it came to gifts.
Yes, she could.
But she trained you, and you actually became
that high
quite good,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so now Janet will reap all the rewards.
Mm-hmm.
Properly trained. You didn't ask me what I'm really getting Carrie.
I thought you guys didn't celebrate.
I thought you got her a sock in the eye.
I'm going to surprise her this year. I got her an autographed picture of Wayne Newton.
She is going to love that.
Oh, that's delightful.
I'm glad you still got that in the database. Printed it out. On quality stock.
That's right. Top drawer.
Carrie, thank you for all that you are and all that you do.
Christ, hello, Don and Mike Show.
Simon
hello.
Lane.
Hello.
Hey, hold on a second. I just remembered something. Actually, Janet is quite cool. Not that Frida wasn't
right.
About
no,
Valentine's Day. We were laughing about it this morning, having breakfast, looking at the newspaper. There was a whole big article about how single people now buy Valentine's gifts for themselves,
yes.
And give themselves cards that say, I love you because you're a great person. And
how stupid is that?
There was a guy, God, this is why people should not put their names in the newspaper. Does anybody have today's Washington Post?
Not him.
I do in the car.
Hey, would someone run out to Mike's car and get it for me? I think it was in the Metro section.
The keys.
And if we get that, I can read it to you. This guy sounds like the biggest dick of all time.
Mm-hmm.
The way he spends Valentine's
Day. This is a single guy?
Yeah. Not what you think. It caught me off guard. We were talking about how ridiculous all of the advertising is and the pressure put on people. And Janet said, oh, read this. Look what this guy's got to say.
I'm tired of the musical cards. I was looking for Valentine's today. I don't like the musical cards. They're a pain in the ass. You can't. You know, one of the nice things about going to a card store is you can quietly look at all the Valentines and open them up and, you know, process it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But when you've got somebody that's, going, I love you, I love you, I love you, it's just, I felt like an asshat.
Didn't care for that.
Are you still there? Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes.
Hey.
Hey, I need your approval on a gift from my ex-wife.
Yes.
How you can have a star named after her?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got one of those, and it's being sent to her with See You in Toledo on it.
Wow.
You think that'll work?
Very nice, boys.
And there'll be a record of it?
Yeah, she gets a... They're going to mail her a certificate. It'll say, see you in Toledo.
Okay.
C word on it?
All right.
Yeah.
She's going to love that.
Hope it never has to go back to court, sir.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be the voice of experience talking.
Yep. You've got to be careful about being vindictive.
Mm-hmm. Hold on a second.
Got to be careful. Style section?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Business.
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 Hey, when you're done with that... Can I see the kid's post? He's already filled it out. He's already worked the bubble.
Okay, so the article is, To Me With Love, Retailers Embrace Valentine's Day.
Uh-huh.
And then, hold on, you get inside. Here we go. This is the guy. Somebody with half a brain on their show, track this guy down for me. Please. Mike and I need to speak to this guy. He lives in Washington, D.C. I'm only going to mention his name because he did an interview in the newspaper. Douchebag. For Bachelor Jim Ryan, 44, of the district, Valentine's Day is a serious affair. Each year he mails 400 cards to friends, family, acquaintances, business colleagues, and anyone else in his Rolodex. The cards include a letter, personally signed, with an update on his life, sort of like the Christmas holiday newsletter. Ryan said this year it took him 16 hours to lick the 400 stamps.
Wow.
Fold the letters and stuff the envelopes. This will be followed by a belated Valentine's lunch Thursday at the Palm for 40 of his most important clients for his job.
Mm-hmm.
What does Ryan get for all effort? Maybe one card in the mail, he said. Now, dude, first off, it's Valentine's Day. Why are you sending people the bio that people don't like to get about family and friends and acquaintances at Christmas? Why are you sending it out at Valentine's Day?
I think I understand that.
What kind of loser sends out 400 of those?
I don't think he's a loser at all.
And then takes clients out to dinner at a fancy restaurant and then complains that he only gets one thank you note.
No, but that's the thing. It's clients.
Uh-huh.
The password, two of them.
And a
write off.
Okay.
He writes it off. He uses the holiday for his own business promotion. Uh-huh. That's what it sounds like to me.
I bet he skips Christmas or
how sure he does. Hold on a second. There was more reason to hate the guy, though.
Okay.
Maybe you're right about that. So Ryan is taking the matter into his own hands.
Uh-huh.
He booked an appointment Friday at the Ritz-Carlton in Georgetown, where their exclusive new Prada massage and facials go for $300.
Right.
He said he's not sure what type of treatment he's getting and said he doesn't care. Here's his quote. I told them to pick. I told them I got $200. I just want to get some stress taken away.
Wow.
Jerk off.
So he's doing that all himself.
You're probably right now that I think
about
it. Yeah,
the whole thing's are.
You're probably
and
right.
The fact that he's in the article now, that's even more.
Yeah, he's a slicky boy who was right or off. You're right, Mike.
There's no love in it. There's no nothing in it. It's all biz.
I was just so ready to hate this morning at the table saying,
you can still hate him.
I said, you're so right. What kind of guy sends out 400 love? You're right.
It's a business thing.
Yeah, slimy business guy.
Hey, you might not have thought about me and we cheat him and how, you know, but it's Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
I bet none of your other lawyers are going to be sending you anything Valentine's Day.
Well, I hope he gets a finger in his dyke when he's having his fancy massage.
Wow.
I really do. I hope he gets a special treat.
It's going to cost him extra. Actually, that's not a bad thing.
What kind of guy does that?
I mean, hello, is this the Ritz-Carlton? I'm looking for the finger in the dyke massage.
Not that you can't get a massage. I guess you can. You know, lots of guys get them.
Sure.
But what kind of guy brags about it in the newspaper?
The same guy that sends out 400 Valentines.
I got $200. I'm Jim Ryan. I'm Evan Marriott.
That procedure is called the leaking Dutchman. Ask for it by name.
Yes. I think you and I have seen that on certain menus in certain cities in America, right next to around the world.
We have traveled.
It is the Valentine's Day pressure, I guess, getting to me.
You said that you're all set, though, that you're completely covered. Are you doing anything in the dining arena that is special?
No. That's why I love Janet. She's great. She said, what do you want for dinner? I said, whatever we would normally have on a Wednesday night. It's refreshing. At this point, it's refreshing to be with somebody who's got a different outlook on Valentine's Day.
Good, but you purchased a gift.
Oh, two gifts, please.
There you go.
I'm not stupid.
Well, I think, don't you think...
I'm not stupid.
I mean, I don't think I'm being cheap here when I say, you know, yes, some guys are going to do both, but don't you think that's kind of an either-or a lot of times? I mean, you can take somebody out for a nice dinner.
Depending.
And have a nice card, maybe some flowers.
Here's the thing. I know, a lot of housewives in my neighborhood. I know a lot of them put the pressure on the guy.
For both.
That it's got to be like the Prince Charming Day. That it's got to be, they got to have flowers in the morning, they got to have some special thing during the day, then they got to go out to the dinner of their lives, and they got to come back, and he's got to make love to her in that slow way, not the fast, clumsy way that he does now.
What he likes.
But the way that, you know, back when he really was tapping that, that's what she wants. And then afterwards she wants the spooning and the canoodling, and, you know, it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Hi there.
Hi. Happy Valentine's Day.
Hi there. Had a very long drive into work.
Yes,
today.
You seem stressed out. Do you need a massage?
Do I seem stressed?
Maybe the leaking Dutchman massage would be, we could probably, it's a little icy out. It might be tough getting them in here.
I wonder what's happening out on the roads. I wonder if still bumper to bumper on the highway of life out there.
All I know is we're talking 2 hours ago. About 2 hours ago, a little longer than that, I was in the parking lot of a drugstore, and the guy coming around the corner, this was the sound. And I looked at him just going, ass of asses, the ass, the Uber ass. Looked at you going, with your Mercedes-Benz SUV that obviously you haven't pushed the right buttons that would allow you to drive at a decent speed. I mean, it's just, I don't get people. Get it.
Okay, well, I got to go to the bathroom and then be like Anna Nicole and get my Slim Fast.
Uh-huh.
And
did you bring your methadone today?
It's next to the methadone.
It's in the little refrigerator in our bathroom, Mike.
Good, very
you
good.
You know that.
Like we don't share that.
So let me do that, make my bladder glider. And Dr. Prison's later in the show today.
Right. Dr. Prison!
Remember we were talking about him yesterday and his list? Hold on. Yes, Johnny.
Scheduled him for Friday.
Friday.
Oh.
Is the other guy tonight?
4:15.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, forget about Dr. Prison then.
So does the guy today have anything to do with prison?
Yes, he served hard time, Mike.
I kind of got myself all ramped up for prison.
He served hard time. Putty from Seinfeld.
Ah.
And he's on that show now with David Spade.
Right. What the hell's the name of that show? They're promoting the heck out of
it. You know what it's called? The name of the show is Fallout Funny.
Fallout. I like to fall out.
That's the name of it.
Well, you know, that's a perfect radio interview because the guy's got that voice.
Yeah.
I love that.
All right, we'll break, and maybe we'll get to him in the next break. And did we even discuss 24 yet? Is everybody's back on board with 24 or not?
What show are you talking about?
Oh, my. Are you ready to agree to disagree?
I'm probably on the cusp right now. Yeah. I did watch it last night, but...
Yeah.
And I watched it without commercials, too.
Didn't the first hour make it for you?
It's no Rome.
What about the thrill?
Wasn't that first hour good?
First hour was pretty strong.
Come on, you got the guy getting in the car, then you got the girl getting it, then you got Morris getting the pick thing in his back.
I still watched it.
The drill.
Yeah. I'm losing my enthusiasm.
Oh, I don't want to hear that.
I'm losing my enthusiasm because of Babe Pig in the City. He bores the S out of me.
I thought you were talking about Chloe for a minute.
No.
He said pig. She had lots of piggy FaceTime last night, too.
What an incredible miracle that Fayette escaped. With the special secret hatch.
What are the odds?
And the rope and the rope going down.
The knot of the rope. Yeah.
And what an incredible happenstance that Morris was captured, tortured, had the crap beaten out of him, had a power drill going through his arm, was beaten to unconsciousness, armed a nuclear bomb, and all within one hour, was back on his job at CTU with his perfectly pressed British shirt.
He's an incredible man. The only thing I liked about 24, the only thing that saved it for me, previews of coming attractions.
Oh, don't ruin it for me. I don't watch the previews of coming attractions.
I did, and I'm real glad that something happened that I wanted to see happen.
Okay, tell me. What?
It's that we find out earlier, sooner than later, we find out that Jack's dad is a bad guy, that Jack finds out. So that's a good thing.
Not only that, they find out that two of the suitcase nukes are in James Cromwell's huge nose.
That's the guy. James Cromwell. Not working for me.
Yeah. Hey, but our man Bill Buchanan was strong last night, right?
Bill Buchanan made that call. Chloe, get off the computer.
Uh-huh. Chloe, get off the computer.
You know who else was strong last night? It was the toad from Ally McBeal.
Jack, it's Bill Buchanan.
Peter McMichael.
It's Pat. It's Bill Buchanan. Chloe, tell your fat British boyfriend to go get kidnapped by a Maserati.
Doing yoga?
I'm doing yoga right now.
I was sure that Morris was going to be the one to get killed last night.
I thought that it would happen, but it was the babe, the little blonde babe.
Right. Mm-hmm. Actually, two prominent deaths because the other bad guy got killed, too, right, when she wasted that guy in the car. Right.
Yeah, he was kind of a throwaway character. Even though he was significant to the plot, he was kind of a throwaway character.
Right. And that slippery Fayette, boy, is that guy slippery, huh? I don't mean that in the way that Rob thinks when I say slippery, but they had that goddamn building surrounded, and then, just like on Batman, there was one back fire entrance window that was open that had the drapes blowing in.
Yeah, and then...
as if to say, hey, Jack, this is where I ran away.
But that's the bait and switch, because then Jack sticks his head out, looks up, got CTU up top, looks down, CTU on the bottom.
Uh-huh.
My question is this.
Yes?
What the F is the point of setting up a perimeter when you're going to set up a perimeter, and then because he's on a Peter Pan rope belt, he escapes and happens to find his way to a helicopter, and they know he's on a helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
They can find the Maserati. I'm sorry, I had a lot of problems with the suspending of disbelief.
It's harder to buy into instead of easier.
It's like, we're going to track from the air. Listen, we're going to track the Maserati.
Can we debate this in the next break?
We certainly can.
Because I do feel passionate enough about the first hour to be pro-24 as opposed to anti-24.
That's funny. Two of the nukes are in James Cromwell's nose. I do like that.
Right.
Chloe, it's Bill Buchanan.
Would you like to smell my beard?
Oh, I don't know where that came from. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike.
I can adjust the report before I send it to division.
No.
Jack, an internal affairs investigation will impede our search for Fayette and Gordenko. Right now, you are critical to that.
You cannot cover this up. I ordered Agent Burke to administer the highest intentful. I killed my brother. Whatever the consequences are, I accept them. Bill, do this right.
having laughs where there shouldn't be laughs.
Isn't it?
Oh, here's the don't call thing.
When you see news breaking, wait 24 hours. Then don't call. The Don and Mike Show.
Got it? Ah!
Number one show in Irascimento, the Don and Mike program.
All right, here we go. Let's talk about 24, shall we?
All right, let's do.
I will be pro 24. I was on the fence. Here's why I'm pro 24.
Right. What's your name?
And remember, you're under oath.
My name is Regis. Regis Philbin, Dave. How are you? The first hour, in my mind, the only mistake they made was running the hours in the order that they did. Mm-hmm. They ran the best hour, the bloodiest hour, the hour with the most action from 8 till 9. 9 till 10 was more of a plot summary. However, Mike, I have to say it delivered. I wanted to see some payoff.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to see some random deaths.
Right.
I wanted to see some action. I wanted to get my adrenaline going, and in the first hour, I said to my girlfriend, this show delivers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm back.
Mm-hmm.
Second hour, sucked ass.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, I'll wait till next week.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's an infallible argument. Go ahead.
Hello, I'm Mary J. Blige. I didn't care for the show. Thank you.
Can I say this, though, Mary?
Yes.
I love your tats.
Thank you very much. The cross. Oh, the shoulder. No, what I...
And also your barbed wire.
The prime directive on the other shoulder. The prime directive of watching 24 is to suspend disbelief. I know that. I had trouble with it. I've had trouble with it this season more than any other. It seems to me that the pace of the show is slightly off. And that's why I'm having a little trouble. It seems you go longer periods with nothing happening, mm-hmm. and then when something happens, it's almost like they're rushing to cram it in at the end. What frustrates me, the number one moment, was last night when they blew through the sixth-floor doors to get all the terrorists, and Fayed, you know, has a trap door with a little piece of rope hanging down. That is the moment.
Like
where
the Riddler.
Yeah, that's when it got comical.
You won't catch me, Batman Bauer.
And it just seems to me that, you know what the problem is? There are a lot of deaths happening on 24 that don't need to happen. And that's what I don't get.
No.
I don't understand why the father had to kill the son. I didn't think that death needed to happen the way
that
it
will
did.
That will be pointed out to you later in the show, Grasshopper.
I do. There's one thing I do like. I like me the lady that was married to Graham.
Yeah.
And I like the little byplay between her and Jack. I think that's going to steam up a little bit.
And
you know what that means. She's a dead woman.
And do you think
she's a dead woman walking?
You think there's a chance that boy is Jack Bauer's boy?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Most definitely. Yeah absolutely. And you know. As I said, you don't watch the previews of coming attractions, but there was enough in that to satisfy me.
Just tell me what it was.
But I'm close to what? The fact that Jack finds out next week that his father did kill Graham.
Right.
You don't have to wait around for a long time, and that was frustrating me. I like Jack. I like those little things to be tied up very quickly, so that is the only thing that saved me. I will give it another week. But it is the 2 hours last night.
Mike?
There were times when I considered it. Are you ready? A chore.
Too much. Oh. My God.
A chore.
Let me say this to you as a 24 lover.
Not like CSI with William Peterson and Liv Schreiber, which is never a chore.
As a 24 lover who was about to jump off, let me tell you that they have big things ahead for us.
Mm-hmm.
They've laid some things out for you if you weren't stupid enough to figure out that the Babe in the City guy is the bad guy, and he might kill the grandkid.
Right, yeah.
What we're all dancing around and haven't mentioned yet is the fact that the Toad from Ally McBeal and Rob Lowe's brother are really on the thing.
That's the big conspiracy.
To take the president to Ford's Theater.
No. And
now.
And noted bad guy, what's his name? Oh, Powers Booth. Who's the real bad guy? As a matter of fact, he's low-keying his badness, he's from Tombstone, that great Western.
Is that the guy with the beard?
No.
Crazy
Russian? He's the vice president. Powers Booth is the vice president.
Right.
The guy with the beard is from Eyes Wide Shut.
And that's the other thing that they're going to do that I think you have to give some credit to. Mm. They turn it around last night in the plot that, God bless them, they're going back to Ronnie Reagan.
Yeah.
It's the Russians who are the bad guys.
Right.
Yeah, and the Russians, are using, the Russians are using the Muslims
right.
to make us think that it's them. Mm-hmm. I think the show will deliver. Mm-hmm. Stick with it, Mike.
Do you know what's weird about
that? They're going to kill the president.
What's weird about 24, and 24 has done this before, you're tying the Russians into this. And if you read current events and you pay attention to what's happening uh-huh. with the whole Iranian situation, uh-huh. that the Russians are once again rearing their ugly head as being kind of bad guys on the world stage,
oh, yeah.
not as nice as they were when we first won the Cold War. So this is the whole thing is art imitating life. It's a little bit scary. I'm talking myself into liking 24.
I bet that they try to, well, not that they, of course they'll try to. They will kill President Palmer.
Really?
I think they'll remove him from office.
No, I think they kill him. I think they kill him and we get the other guy in there.
Powers Booth?
Is he the vice president or the bad guy behind
the vice president? He is so sinister.
He's the guy that was on like the Air Force One plane, right? Talking to the president.
Yeah. Right. And he has to really, really low key his evilness because he is such a noted Hollywood bad guy that if he goes too far, it'll be almost a caricature. You know, it's a, hey, all right, I'm glad we think the same way.
All right, well, now if we speak in Buzz speak. And when Buzz is under the weather, we always ask him, how you doing? And Buzz always gives us a percentage.
Yes.
What is the percentage that you will stay with American Idol, that you'll stay with 24? I'm going to give it a 95% chance that I stay with it.
I'm at 70. I'm at 70%.
That's strong. What about you, Buzz?
I'm going to say 70 also.
I'm going to watch it definitely next week. That's a good solid 70%. If I feel like that hour is an hour is not a chore. 2 hours can be a chore.
Yeah. It's too much. I wish they wouldn't double up episodes.
I don't like doubled up episodes.
They have to, though.
But then again, I used to love doubled up episodes.
They have to. Yes, they do. How else do you run 24 episodes of a show?
Over 24 weeks.
Jesus Christ, you know how many months that is? Please.
Well, I can figure it up.
It's a give it now society that we live in, Buzz.
Yes.
Oh, keep your eyes on that, Vice President.
Hello, Todd and Mike show.
Hey, hello, Mary. I got a couple of things. First of all, you know, I like the show, but there's too many, like, subplots with killing the president and then, you know, Jack's dad and then, yeah, Jack finding this guy and then that guy finding that guy. And
too complicated for your little brain? All of those moving boxes, do they tax you? I am so sorry. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Now, when is the Chad Lowe plot? Where Chad Lowe is attracted to another man in the show. When is that going to play out
next week?
When are the homosexual overtones?
When he clears the desk like the Ally McBeal guy did and takes the Ally McBeal guy.
Would you like a suggestion for the plot?
Yeah.
Chad Lowe goes back to his residence, his townhouse in Washington, D.C., and he goes down into the basement. And in the basement is a box, and in a box you have a GIMP character, and he takes the GIMP out by the leash, who's dressed all in leather, and the leather hood comes off, and it's the former Secret Service man, Red, from the previous episode.
Mike?
The one that...
Yeah, I'm totally gay for you. You went a long way to get back to Red, didn't you?
Red, the one that Gene Smart was in love with.
Now, there is that.
She wasn't the only one, was she?
Gene Smart is coming back this season.
She is?
And also, I have heard from President, I can't even think of his name.
I didn't know Gene Smart's coming back.
Yeah,
now.
She did stuff before the premiere.
Oh.
And remember President Hughes?
Right, Nixon. Remember the Nixon-like guy from last year?
Yeah. Is he coming back?
I called his people, and they said, he's not doing any radio until his character comes back on this season.
Oh.
And I said, when's that? And they said, well, we really can't say.
Oh, now wait, now you got me intrigued. Now,
not.
Now I'm complete. Well,
you're back.
That's pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, you're back.
I've gone up to 80%.
Robbie, how about some romantic music, please?
You got it.
Some soul, soul romantic music, not the stuff from our machine.
Oh, okay.
Pick something out. Because Robert Mailman is on the telephone.
Okay.
And it seems virtually every day somebody comes to us and says, Robert the Mailman wants to talk about his travelogue to Thailand. Robert the Mailman wants to talk about his travelogue to France.
I'm constantly asking you.
Robert the Mailman.
Yesterday it was Robert the Mailman looks like Gnarls Barkley.
Yeah. But and where else is he going?
It's not that he's going anywhere. He went to France. He went to Thailand.
What?
And he's having trouble with his ass.
Oh, really? Like you?
So much to talk
about.
Well,
I mean, how much like me can he be?
So they say every day that Robert keeps calling to be on the show. Yesterday said, hey, all he wants to do is get on and read a Valentine poem.
Oh.
So he texted Rob. Here he is now, world traveler, Robert Mailman. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Donald and Mike. How you doing?
Hello there, Robert.
Hey, Robert, has anybody ever told you you look like Gnarls Barkley?
F you, Mike.
Why is that F you?
F you, Mike.
Why?
I thought the Grammys.
I thought you'd be flattered.
Yeah, like you'd be flattered about every sitcom has a fat guy with the pretty wife.
Look, Robert, I had no idea you would be offended. I really thought you'd like that comment.
No. I don't like it at all. Thank you.
Robert, because we're up against time today.
Well, you look like him.
We won't talk about your travel.
And you like the Family Guy.
Thank you. See, I take that as a compliment.
You should.
You have a poem. You have a piece of poetry you've written?
Yeah, but if you ain't got time to get into it, you go ahead and do your...
No, we got time. You're on the phone now. Lay it on us.
Come on, Narls.
I've
been listening to you guys, and I've been listening to your commercials, and I don't want to hurt your sponsors, but I think we've lost our way, Don and Mike. I think men of America have been castrated with a rusty spoon. We're no longer men. We're laughed at. So I wrote a poem with my feelings on what we should do tomorrow.
And ladies and gentlemen, here he is now with his poem
and his feelings.
Robert Mailman.
It's called Don't Give These Bitches Nothing.
Who are you?
Do they deserve candy? No. She already looks like John Candy. Do these women deserve dinner? No. You can't afford to feed them unless you go to the old country buffet because they eat too much. Do they deserve gold and jewelry and a tennis bracelet? No. She deserves to run around a tennis court to get the fat off her ass. These women, they cheat on you, they lie on you, they talk about you behind your back. Give these bitches nothing tomorrow.
Robert, excuse me, this poem doesn't rhyme. Is this like one of those haikus?
I'm telling you what every other man.
It's verse, Don. It's just verse.
It doesn't have
you have to let it wash all over you.
We really do hate them.
I normally don't associate Robert Mailman and washing together.
No. You know, I'm not really bitter about this. I'm not bitter. I'm just telling the truth. Huh? We do not want to do anything tomorrow. Why? By Don is so lucky that he has a girlfriend who understands that he doesn't really want to do anything for her. You saw how she was on the phone, subservient. She knows her position in life.
Right, that's her subservient.
I'm going to tell you something.
Are you reading the poem still or what?
You keep interrupting me. I can't get it out.
Hold on. Do you have stuff that rhymes?
No. Why a black man got to rhyme? That's rap. I'm not rapping.
Not rapping.
Hold on a moment. Didn't you tell me he had a poem?
He told me it was a poem.
Well, it started out as a poem.
Not all poems.
Tennis bracelet? No. And that was verse.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have something written down?
Hold on, I put him on hold. Hey, Robert, do you have an actual poem written down?
Yes, I do.
Would you lay that on us, please?
No. You're upsetting me.
Why are we upsetting you?
Because you keep interrupting me. I have a flow.
Excuse me, we got the TV guy coming on in our next break here. We got to hit the commercial.
Oh, slam, Don. It doesn't have to rhyme. Why do you keep saying, do I have to rhyme?
So it does
I'm
not.
I'm laying out the grievances of everyday man, and you keep interrupting me about rhyming.
All right, Robert?
You have some notion that a black man has to rhyme when he does poetry.
That's right. It's all a black and white issue. Robert, we'll talk to you after we talk to Putty from Seinfeld. Okay.
Can I call back? You want me to call back with the rest of my poem?
Yes, please.
I'll call back.
Okay, my friend.
All right.
All right, there he is. Part so one. Poor, so black.
Share with us your mood so darkly and the fact that you look like Gnarls Barkley.
Doesn't his voice sound higher?
Now, you waited till he was off the phone.
Yeah, I tried to get John to bring it. I didn't know he was ending up so
soon. Like, he was writing me all kinds of little post-it notes. His voice sounds higher.
Like he sped up.
Maybe that happened in Thailand.
Maybe it's a recording trick at the Gnarls Barkley Recording Center.
And we didn't hear anything about his butt.
No.
We did not.
No. Well, I thought he had poetry.
He told me, he texted me, he has a poem.
Well, he did. He started out, it sounded like a poem.
More of an essay.
All right, well, we got to come back.
Wait,
it
does
have to rhyme.
It does have to rhyme.
I agree.
No.
I agree. If it don't rhyme, don't call up and say you have a poem.
Boys, there are volumes of poems.
But Mike, how many times
that don't rhyme.
Don't rhyme.
Oh, what a feeling.
Dancing on the ceiling.
Game, set, and match.
By Gnarls Barkley.
What's the guy's name? His name is not Putty.
No, it's Patrick Warburton.
Patrick who?
Patrick Warburton.
Patrick Warburton.
Very funny guy.
Warburton. Patrick Warburton.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you, Rob, because Mike and I are stupid. He wrote for us.
Did you write this, Rob?
Yes.
I wrote some of it.
Plays Jeff on Rules of Engagement. Trademark. Monotone. Deep voice. Massively built frame, nonchalant attitude displayed in various characters he plays.
Why did you think we had to have that?
No, I listened to that from his.
He was David Putty on Seinfeld.
All right.
You are incredible, Rob.
I loved him in The Emperor's New Groove. Oh, was he? I thought Tim Allen was Buzz Lightyear.
He does the TV Buzz Lightyear.
Oh,
sad for the mind of Spiewak. Although I'm glad you did put he was the Tick. I like the Tick when that TV show is on for about 5 minutes.
Yep. And it's always the guy with like no waist and a total and shoulders out to here.
All right, so Patrick, let's get that name right. Patrick Warburton. Patrick Warburton.
It's not difficult. Patrick Warburton.
Patrick Warburton.
Do you know what's going to be difficult for both of us?
Not calling him Putty?
No, because you've spotlighted it now.
Warburton.
I wasn't even going to. Patrick Warburton.
Warburton. War.
It's like war. What are people good for? Absolutely nothing. And Burton, like Richard Burton.
Mm-hmm. Or Burton Cummings.
Or Burton. Or Tim Burton.
Ooh. Burton Ward.
Is that like Burt Ward?
That is Burt Ward's given name. But it's a cheap one. It's a cheap one. I'm really out with Burton Cummings.
Uh-huh. Is there a chance that I could be king of the Burtons, Ralphie boy?
Now that is Richard Burton. That is not the guy from
James Mason is the other guy. Norton, I want to go bowling. I can't go bowling with you, Ralphie boy.
And then yesterday there was also the guy from the Police Academy movies.
He would be far more back here. Dorothy, may I kiss you?
And what about Zsa Zsa's prince husband?
Salty man are going to sleep with Anna Nicole, including me. I got them all figured out finally. Finally.
Is that the guy right now? Well, Christ, we have to do commercials. Oh, Tim, please.
Hold it. It's a collect call. I don't think it's him. We should break.
I collect call for Rob Spiewak.
Oh, it is him.
Is he really calling collect?
Yes.
Well, hold on. We got to take a break.
First. Yeah.
Well, what are you doing?
Because I want... Mike, hold on.
I'm not talking to you. I'm just... What is he doing? What are you doing?
He's
are you going to speak to him?
And I have to speak to him to tell him that we're going to break. Hi, Patrick? Okay, can you hang on for me one second?
Ask him when he called collect.
Why did you call? Oh, he called from a payphone.
A payphone?
Yeah.
They still have those? Payphone. I like that. Well, if he's on a payphone, is he going to be able to wait?
Mike, sure he will. He's got a monotone, deep voice, a massively built frame, and a nonchalant attitude often displayed in the various characters he plays.
I could stay at this payphone all day.
All right, well, we'll hit the break and come back and talk to Putty. Excuse me. David War.
Patrick Warburton.
Patrick Warburton. It's David Putty, right?
Isn't that right?
Patrick Warburton, right?
Patrick Warburton.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, where were you?
Let's finish this up.
Did you two break up?
That chick's whacked. Poor history. Just left out a couple of things. Rustproofing.
Rustproofing?
Transport charge. Storage surcharge. Additional overcharge. Finder's fee.
Finder's fee was on the lot.
Yeah, that's right. And, floor mats, keys.
Keys?
I got it started.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Here he is again.
If I was having any more fun, I explode.
Thank you.
Killing everyone here.
I like their show a lot. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Oh, I screwed that thing up. Where's the tape of Patrick?
If I was having any more fun, I explode. Killing everyone here.
There you go.
Hey, that's green
good. And where's the thing about us?
A different breed of cat. The Don and Mike Show.
So the question is, why would Patrick Warburton call us, collect from the payphone.
Yeah, it's an unusual thing to get a call from a Patrick, are you there?
I'm here.
Are you really calling us from a payphone?
I'm really calling from a payphone.
Wow.
Dude,
I'm that thrifty.
You, you know, you can't block out a cell number. We wouldn't steal your number, I promise.
No, it was my phone is actually on a Fritz. I was talking to a buddy of mine, cell to cell, just about an hour ago, and he was at his house, and I just lambasted him because I kept losing the call. I said, why don't you step outside or call me in a landline? And as it turns out, it was my phone.
So you're not one of these individuals who, you know, goes the anti-technology route, where you protest against cell phones. You're just having a little problem today.
No, it's not that way. Although I didn't get an email address until 4 months ago.
Oh. Wow.
I am a holdout. I'm a major holdout. And my cell phone actually looks like something from the year 2000. But
big, gigantic. Patrick is on the show Rules of Engagement Monday night on CBS. We've talked about that show with Patrick Spade. Mm-hmm. He was on Seinfeld. He was Putty. Right. I thought you kicked ass when you were the Tick. That show, I swear to Christ, it was right after Seinfeld.
The Tick, yeah.
That show cracked my ass up. I know you don't want to talk about that necessarily.
Okay, but I loved it. I mean, that was just about the funnest thing I ever got to do, and not wearing the costume, but just to get to be the Tick, because it was so cleverly conceived, and it was just too expensive for Fox, I guess.
You know, you do a tremendous amount of voiceover work. Do you still get a kick out of seeing yourself in animated form, like when you do something like The Emperor's New Groove? Do you enjoy that? Can you detach yourself more from the performance when you're watching yourself as an animated character?
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun because I got four kids, you know. So for me, the most fun is actually checking some of that stuff out with them, you know. And there's a little something for all of them, you know. My oldest, you know, Talon, he's 14 years old, and so he's kind of digging on some of the, you know, the race, you know, the Adult Swim stuff.
Right.
The Venture Brothers and Family Guy, and although I think it's in a boring show, you know, and that it's not for kids, you know, it's hard to keep your 14-year-old son from watching The Family Guy.
Yeah, everybody loves Family Guy.
It's the never-ending battle.
You got a hell of a career, a hell of a resume with a lot of very attractive things like Family Guy, The Tick, which I mentioned, I love your new show, and Seinfeld. How sick are you of people coming up to you and saying something? Like, if I met you, I'm sure I would say, all signs point to yes. I mean, are you sick of people associating you with David Putty, or are you one of those guys that says, hey, that's cool, that's kind of my entry into your life?
Nah, it's cool, it's fine, you know.
Good.
Really, you got to embrace that because the show's perpetually syndicated. It'll be around forever, and so it doesn't mean you're not going to busy yourself doing other things, you know. But I would hazard to say I don't ever do anything that you know makes the rounds like
that. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it when you were not going to have sex with Elaine, and then she had to pay Jerry $50 every time you banged her, and you kept banging her, and you kept coming in and laying down $50.
I don't know. The sex must have been really good with the two of them, because what else was going on in that relationship?
Honestly, my friend, how does a guy like you, we were reading your Jive bio that they sent out that says with your massively built frame and your monotone...
I wrote all of that.
Monotone, deep voice, massively built frame.
You are a large dude.
Is that the dip?
Oh, hello.
Hello?
Are you there?
Not a good technology.
Patrick? Oh, dear.
How do you lose a payphone?
That wasn't a whatnot thing. That was a...
No, that was his phone. We're having a lot of guests recently that call us. That seems to be... We now have to wait, do we? Do we not?
When he calls back... Don't pick it up, guys. Did somebody pick it up back there? Who's on that line? Who's on line number 12 right now? Who is it?
Hi, Joe!
Thanks. Not to pick a net. Who was on the phone?
Joe.
Thanks.
Joe was trying to call him back.
Hi, Joe!
Okay, Kat, when he calls back, mm-hmm. Let's get the sound. Just let me take it on the air. Let's get the sound of the thing saying, do you accept a collect call?
Exactly.
From Patrick Warburton.
If he does call back.
He will, I think.
Patrick Warburton.
The only hope.
At least the name wasn't a problem.
No. And on the bio that we were going to read, it said his monotone deep voice, massively built frame, and nonchalant attitude often displayed in various characters. To recap that that bio. And Rob, you're saying that came out of his own bio.
That's from IMDb, so it's very
IMDb,
okay.
Okay, okay, now here is there he is. Calling back. Hello?
You have a collect call from the Altura International. Operator, would the calling party please state your name?
Patrick.
To accept the charges, press 1 now.
Hello?
Patrick?
I promised I wasn't going to say the F word.
No, dude, we don't know what happened. It was a...
What was fun, though, is Don put the entire collect call thing on the air, which was very interesting to listen to. Very unique to get anybody calling us collect from a payphone. It's very nice.
It is unique. I actually had to... Then some folks came up to the phone here, and I said, I might be a little while. And I sent them to another... I'm like, who uses a payphone now? I mean...
Right. Where do you find a payphone, yeah, for goodness sake?
Kind of a ridiculous situation for me, but I who uses a payphone? I mean, you can buy some of these cheap cell phones for $25 now, and and get a few minutes. I don't know.
Yeah. What? You know, he is anti-technology. I can tell. He's anti-technology in a good way, though.
Are you in a payphone, Patrick, where you're outside, or are you on a corner, or are you in a restaurant?
I'm outside. I'm right next to it. There's a post office here and a Toys R Us. It's one of these little malls, and but they've got the music. They're piping in a little, Tainted Love by Stop.
You know, on the... Hello?
Hello?
Oh, we're just making sure we have the connection.
The phone is crapping out a little bit. We were going to tell you about your monotone, deep voice, massively built frame.
And the most important thing in here, the nonchalant attitude, which obviously is a lot of characters you have played that have that kind of nonchalance. Do you find that people respond to you wanting that when you bump into people, that they want you to be a little too cool for school?
Wow. Well, I don't...
Oh, dear.
And now it's gone, I think.
I would have preferred a cell phone. I would have preferred a cell phone. You know, maybe it's because it's this guy. Uh-huh. That's just making me, laugh. You have a collect call from Patrick.
And then we lose him twice. I sincerely hope he doesn't think we're dicking with him, because we're not.
There's no way. He knows that it's... He's got to know it's dumping out on his end.
We are fans of this guy.
Perhaps a chat with, though, the publicist to indicate that maybe a slight change in technology might be in order.
I think what they do is generally they go to someone like him and say, here, you make this call. You call these guys. I've set this up. You call them at 4:15, right?
Right, and this was last minute. Remember, his cell phone, he thought was working an hour ago.
Right.
So this was his last minute call.
It speaks to the coolness of the guy. The guy does not have an entourage.
Right.
He's not surrounded by people, which is very cool.
Yeah, so...
But sometimes those people can be handy.
Yes.
Sometimes those people can come up with a cell
phone. This could be one of those... Oh, look, it's the phone.
You have a collect call from the Altura International. Operator, would the calling party please state your name?
For the love of all that's holy.
To accept the charges, press 1.
Hey, dude. You know, I'll tell you, Patrick, the bit is that we've lost you twice and you've called back. We appreciate it. We really do.
Swear to Christ, we're not doing anything to the phone.
You know that it's on your end, right?
I do.
Okay. Not your day.
Well, listen, while you're on the line, let's just plug your show.
Yes, let's plug your show.
Rules of Engagement, Monday is 9:30 on CBS. You're the married guy. There's the other guy that's the engaged guy. There's Spade, who is the perpetual bachelor.
Getting good signs from the network. Everything going well with the show, Patrick?
Yeah, everything's going great. We couldn't ask for more, and people are turning out for it. So it's great. I think it's a well-written show, and I think we got a great cast, and we have a great production company behind it.
How's Leslie?
He's cool.
He's a big fan of our show.
Yes. Les, you mentioned Don and Mike to Les Moonves, and you're in. You're getting inside the doors.
You'll light up.
Well, Patrick, I'm just almost afraid to start talking to you again, because I'm afraid that the fate will go on us. You are a cool guy. Thank you for calling back. For goodness sakes, Mike thinks you should get a better publicist.
Yeah. I love what they're doing, writing those really kind of cheesy, you know, promo sheets and sending them out there. And morning, honey.
And he's gone.
And he was gone again.
We will have to chat with Patrick Warburton at some time in the future.
Maybe in a couple of months.
I believe. When he calls
I agree
back.
With you. He should. This is a problem with his publicist.
Yeah.
They should say to him,
mm-hmm.
and he is a sweet guy.
He's terrific. Hey, you know what? There are a lot of people out there that would not have called back once,
right.
much less twice. And if he goes for a third time, mm-hmm. my opinion of him is, I say, really, at this point, if he's even normal, he's saying, hey, F this.
Yeah.
Because this is ridiculous.
It's a good test.
But he does know that it's on his end.
Yeah. The only, if he does call back.
That's going to be the nice bow to tie this up if he does call back.
It would be nice if he called back. We didn't accept the charges.
Oh, no.
We're waiting now. We're going to see what happens.
See, now, there's not a problem with delay. This is not a problem with him waiting to...
No. You know, it was worth it, really, to hear, in the name of all that is holy, Patrick. Warburton. Patrick, I think, maybe has gone back into the post office.
Yeah. His publicist has got to, like, put him on a hardline phone somewhere.
Yeah. In some office. But, you know, they're out there doing their thing, and he's running his errands, and he's taking care of it. And I believe he has said, F it.
Yeah, he might have.
Good for him.
Yeah.
You can't blame him.
I respect him for that.
Let's wait, though, and see what happens.
Let's put 45 seconds on the clock right now as we wait for Patrick Warburton.
I've enjoyed this more than I would have a normal interview.
Sure.
Just because it was goofy enough.
And here we go, Mike. On my mark, 30 seconds left for the over-under on this. And here we go. And mark.
All right. To the best of my knowledge, they're not experiencing an ice storm out in California.
I would have to say right now the smart money indeed is on the fact, A&D, JB, indeed, that he will not be phoning back.
I can't believe I'm never going to use a payphone again.
Dryson, going, gone. There he is.
Check out.
If I was having any more fun, I explode. Killing everyone here.
Oh, there he is.
That was interesting chatting with him. Maybe sometime in the future.
Patrick Warburton. Oh, hold on, Mike. Hello?
Hello?
Is this Patrick Warburton?
No.
Oh, hello, Robert.
This is Norris Barkley.
Hold on a second. God, he could. You know, I'll give you credit, Robert.
That's a good save by Robert.
As soon as you heard that call dump out, there you were.
There he was.
I got a regular phone.
Your phone sounds good.
Some career.
Okay, come on now. Come on, the guy's one of those new age guys.
Oh, no, I understand. I feel the same way. I've called the show and been hung up on several times.
We didn't hang up on him, Robert.
I just hung up on Robert.
There you go.
Oh,
good. He's gone.
Right.
Yep. But that was just a joke, Robert. It was a joke hanging. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yes, hello.
The opening music of your show. It's not a goal. It's not a goal. You're wrong to be going to Hollywood tonight.
What the hell
are
you
talking
about?
What are you talking about?
The opening music of your show. I think it sucks. What about you, Paula? Oh, no. It's a no. What about you, Randy? Oh, dog. Oh, no, not this time, dog.
The guy's like doing his own riff on American Idol while he's sniffing glue or something.
Wow.
Or is this Regis's daughter checking in?
Is this Crystal?
About the music. Is this
Crystal Philbin?
No, it's funny. Good middle name, Matt.
Right. You didn't get that, Rob.
My daughter, Crystal Matt
Philbin. This is Crystal Matt Philbin.
All right, well, that's officially it. Putty out.
Real sorry about the payphone, guys.
All right, well, thank you to him for checking. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Joining us now from his home in Bel Air is Prince Frederick Van Anhalt. He is the husband of Hollywood star Zsa Zsa Gabor, another old friend of mine. And he claims that he may be the father of Anna Nicole's baby. How long were you and Anna Nicole involved, Prince Frederick?
Well, we knew each other for the last 10 years. We talk very often.
Well,
we met when she was in Los Angeles. I met her once in San Francisco. And right on the beginning, I met her in New York when she still was married to Howard. And Howard was a very, very nice man. He was a very happy man. You could see it. She made him smile. She made him laugh. He was very happy. He wanted somebody very young around him.
Yeah.
He wanted a child around him because the girl was a little bit childish, and he loved that. All men love that if the wife is a little childish.
Yeah, boy.
Did you have a romantic relation with her for those 10 years?
We didn't get closer while she was married to Howard.
That's for sure.
She would never have done that to Howard. But after Howard died, the whole thing is she wanted to become a princess.
A princess. Yeah, boy.
Giving idiots a bad name. Don and Mike.
There is so much Anna Nicole Smith stuff. I'm on overload now. Hey, the boys are doing the show prep for us here. And my gosh, I had something in front of me called a hot sheet. And there are 12 items for us to discuss on this list, if we choose to discuss them.
Are any of them of a tape nature?
No. There's
just the different things surrounding her death and the death of her son and the paternity of the baby.
Of the 12 things on this list for the DJ to read, 8 of them, I take it back, 7 out of 12 were about Anna Nicole.
Anna Nicole.
For instance, Howard K. Stern says all of her stuff was stolen. A Bahamian official wants to talk to Howard K. Stern about the son's death. Another new possible baby's daddy. Howard K. Stern and Anna Nicole Smith had planned to marry before her death. Did Anna Nicole Smith bang the immigration guy? Parallels between Anna Nicole Smith and Britney Spears.
Oh.
Okay, enough.
Is Britney Spears on methadone?
Enough of that. Please.
What are you saying?
Is any of that interesting?
Are you saying that you're burned out?
Yes.
Are you burnt out on Anna Nicole?
Yes, I am.
I'm just sorry neither one of you have seen the medical investigator from Broward County that looks like he's missing a hunk of head.
You mean he's got a deformed head?
Very much so. His name is Dr. Purper. And he's been on Larry King every night for 3 nights.
Dr. Purper.
Dr. Purper.
He doesn't talk German. He talks more like Dracula.
So if you're keeping track of the show today, Don is very much intrigued with 24, but he is no longer interested in Anna Nicole.
That's right. You know what I'm interested in?
But
the Anna Nicole that you showed me on YouTube.
Oh.
And I think we should see more of that. And thank you for, you know, it was a grainy, horrible little clip of only about 36 seconds, but it was her cousins and Anna Nicole.
Cousins!
And they are all just obliterated.
Wow. The end of this little clip on YouTube is the Anna Nicole that they should show when they're doing these loving tributes to her, because it's her when she was on a reality show, big and sloppy fat.
And she's unintelligible because she says something like,
there's one that Mike was showing me before the show today, or I take it back, during the first break, whatever it was.
Right.
Said, come back, look at her. And I've seen Anna Nicole Smith a million times.
She's all over YouTube, and I just stumbled upon it. I got lucky and watched this. I stumbled upon it when they had...
She's wearing like a Mrs. Santa Claus suit.
Yeah, and it's her cousin. I think it's the same cousin that is in another video clip on YouTube, drinking orange juice and then giving an interview, and then she throws up. She's skinny and she has no teeth.
Okay.
And they say Anna Nicole's cousin.
Oh, the cousin, because Anna Nicole is fat.
No, this is I believe, you know, on YouTube you just interpret it, you know, because it might be a joke that somebody's looking at another person, but this looks to be Anna Nicole's cousin, and she doesn't have any teeth, and she's sitting there, and about 20 seconds into the interview she says, "Well, I do remember." And then you see her turn to the side, and the camera, of course, because they do that, zooms in on her a little bit, and she goes,
"Home."
And then she goes off camera, and of course, the camera, there's a brief cut, and the camera follows her over where she appears to be spewing into a bucket.
Very nice. Wow.
I love YouTube.
It's time for Robert the Mailman's Valentine's Day poem.
Yay.
Bobby.
Hey, how you doing?
Lay it on us.
What are you laughing at, Robert?
Nothing. I'm just watching poodles on the internet.
You're watching poodles on the internet?
No, pictures of nastiness on the internet.
Oh.
But, Don.
Hold on a second. Is that like porn, Robert?
Yeah.
And you're laughing because it's so nasty?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a fat guy grabbing on the tees of a real hot chick.
Well, we're playing Celine Dion, which means only one thing. It's time for Robert the Mailman. It's Valentine's Day poem.
Oh, can we slow down for a minute?
Why is that?
It's been a while since I've been on, and I was a little excited before. And you do want them to rhyme, so in between the last time we talked and now, I wrote three rhyming poems. How about that?
Thank you, Robert. Now I can say, with his original love poems, Robert the Mailman.
Now, two are for Valentine's Day, and one is for Black History Month.
Oh, very good.
That's outstanding.
And they're short and sweet. You might bleep me on one, but I don't know. I'll try it anyway.
All right, let it roll.
Okay. Hair like silk, eyes like glass, gained 80 pounds, kiss my ass.
Mm.
Two boxes of chocolate. Those are my two Valentine's Day. This is my Black History.
Yeah, they did delete that one out.
Kiss my fat ass.
But it was lovely.
You had to delete that?
Yeah, we had to delete it, but we heard it, Robert, and I have tears.
Okay. And this is for Black History Month.
Okay.
Hey, Don, well, as you know, my man Ike Turner won a Grammy Sunday night.
Yes.
I'm so glad you pointed that out, Robert.
And instead of music, he should have played tennis because he had one hell of a backhand. But here we go.
My hero.
Northern Light.
Oh, hold on a second. What happened to that... Gosh, the buttons on this machine change every day. Never mind what I was looking for. Go ahead, Robert.
All right. This is for Black History Month.
Black History Month.
Roses are red, violets are blue. Never borrow money from a grimy Jew. Thank you.
Oh, dear. Oh,
bye.
Oh, that's ugly.
There you go. That would be...
Is that it for him?
I just hung up on him.
He's done.
I think he's contributed about what he normally brings to the
yeah,
show.
Yes, he has.
Hey, Don.
Robert, the very angry mailman.
What was that about?
I don't know. I had my Celine Dion ready because I thought we were going to have a loving moment with Robert and his love poem.
Well, he did rewrite it, and he put some rhyming in it for you. So he took the assignment and he ran with it. I think that's a good thing.
Okay, well... That's Robert the Mailman, everybody.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Now he can go back to laughing at his internet fat man on hot women pornography.
Grabbing their teeth. I am not going to read you any of this Anna Nicole Smith stuff. Sorry, guys. I'm on overload with Anna Nicole. Unless it's the big fat Anna Nicole. I think
we've all overdosed on it.
The you just did an OD joke, didn't you?
I did, yes.
The thing about Anna Nicole is, that she's very Elvis-like, that, and I guess in time it'll come out, where you have, you're looking at me quizzically like a dog.
In what way?
Well, you have Mike in this way.
In what way is she Elvis-like?
She is like, when she is thin, she's like Elvis when he was in the army.
Yeah.
And when she did her TV show, she's like Elvis when he was purple and bloated.
In Hawaii.
And it's my hope someday that I'll be able to buy a decanter. And screw off the head of Anna Nicole Smith and drink out of her neck the way I drink out of my Elvis decanter.
Man, I'd like to point out the autopsy results aren't even him.
True.
I mean, they didn't find any pills in her stomach, Jack.
That's right.
I should point out that her stomach wasn't like E's where they said it was like a little gravel rustling around in there, man.
Uh-huh. Now, meanwhile, hold on a second. Robert, Mailman, hello, Don and Mike show. It's not Robert again, is it? Hello?
Hello, it's you. Speak to us.
Robert?
Don and Mike.
Nope, not Robert the Mailman.
Is this Putty?
Hello?
Don and Mike.
Yes, howdy.
Yeah, we're here.
Roses are red. Violets are bigger. I think Robert...
Oh, now stop that.
Come on now.
Stop it. See, Robert revs it up a little bit. He really does.
He does.
That's
he
a Robert
lost,
hater.
We lost another call.
Hey,
guys. We lost another call.
There are absolutely 8 million stupid Valentine's lists that have also found their way to our desk, including the cheesiest love songs of all time,
mm-hmm.
the greatest love songs of all time.
Mm-hmm. You were playing one of them.
That one is on MSNBC, the cheesiest love song of all time.
The Titanic song?
From T-I-T-A-N-I-C.
I thought it was delightful.
The 100 greatest love songs of all time.
Mm-hmm.
My Girl by the Temptations is number one.
I got sunshine.
Yeah. You know, as you look at this list, like every list, it's subjective. Mm-hmm. You don't know how much is thrown in here by people who are old like us, or older like Buzz,
right,
or younger like, well, there's no one in the show that's young. So
I'm trying to think of Buzz's favorite love song from his day. I'm trying to think, but it was an instrumental, wasn't it?
It was by Johann Sebastian Bach, wasn't it?
Wasn't it played on the harpsichord?
Yes, yes. Wasn't it like... Doodle 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 doodle. I can't.
Joy.
I am tone deaf, but that's what I was trying to.
I knew what you were singing. That's joy.
Joy.
Celebrates love. What's not to like?
I know. I think we both did it justice. Now, do we have that in our College of Rock and Roll knowledge?
By Apollo
100.
Right.
It's called Joy.
Mm-hmm. And I think Mr. Holland's opus, he demonstrates, you know, that song for his class to show them that music is ageless.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget the porno version. It's one of, like, one of Robert's movies.
Yeah.
It's a dirty movie.
Very dirty.
Also on this list is the greatest love songs of all time.
Uh-huh.
There are some songs that really, I don't... Is Bridge Over Troubled Water a love song?
Yeah. Really?
I always thought it was like kind of a...
I will lay me down.
But it wasn't that speaking
the
like...
a song of sacrifice.
But in a royal English way. Isn't it like about...
friendship and support.
Yes, for that's everybody in the world.
Isn't friendship and support love? Depends. Huh? I ask you. Isn't it, Don?
Would you stop it, Mike? All right,
I was holding my hands in that special way.
Oh, here is another one. Did you find it, Robin?
I did.
You got it.
It was on the second show.
Mike and I can sing along with that.
Really?
We're real good like that.
In that case, maybe I didn't follow.
Come On, Eileen is the 63rd greatest love song of all time.
One of your favorite songs
not
to talk up. It's an odd choice. I like it, but...
Also on this list, doesn't really belong on this list, Jesus Christ.
That's on there?
Last Dance by Donna Summer. Is that a romantic song?
I never thought of that as a romantic song.
I thought discos, and obviously that's like Last Call for Alcohol.
To break it down.
What about Allison by Elvis Costello? I mean, it's a love song if your name is Allison, I guess.
My Aim is True. Isn't that what it is?
Yeah, Allison. Well, hold on. Where's the other one we're going to sing to? Oh, here it is. You gotta keep going with it, Mike. I got it. da 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 da
See why I liked it? I think we did a damn fine job. We really do.
Everybody?
I think it's one of our finest efforts.
There's
no place to breathe.
That's 20 plus years of talent right there, ladies and gentlemen.
That ain't like the Billy Joel thing that we started the fire thing where we are making that up.
Mm-hmm. Well, what we did was we took the Billy Joel lyrics and we had them written down and we pretended that we knew the lyrics.
Because we used to actually fool people
by
reading the lyrics to We Didn't Start the Fire because people thought we had actually memorized the lyrics.
And didn't we go a very long time before revealing that fact? We just told our listeners.
Years. We
told our listeners that we knew this, and we had them all printed out.
Better part of the decade.
Still screwed it up.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how are you?
Okay. I guess you're calling to say thank you, and I guess what we have to say is you're welcome. Is that why you're calling?
I want to say thank you. Of course, it was magnificent, but I got to tell you, I almost had an accident when you started with your Deedly Deeds because I thought, God forbid, the Grease Man was back.
Oh,
now you know
that stings. That is painful. And I was watching the Grease Man slideshow on YouTube today.
Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hello. Let the praise begin.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Praise Jesus. Praise us.
Putty, is that you?
Actually, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
By chance, do you all still have a robe from Demi Moore from DC?
Oh, my God.
Wow. We used to have a robe. I think we gave that robe away, a robe that was worn by Demi Moore.
Four Seasons robe.
At a hotel here in D.C. I think we gave it away, my friend. Why?
I got that robe for you all. You gave the robe to me?
Okay. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Does he say he got the robe?
He said he got that robe. We gave the robe to him.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
And why?
Hello?
Hello?
You're welcome. Is it you?
Yes.
Is it you?
And him.
It's me, too.
Good.
All right. Well,
You know how much I love your show? I love it so much that I listened to that, and I wanted to rip my ears out.
This is not exactly the type of praise I thought we'd get, Mike.
I'm enjoying it, though.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
The roses.
Don and Mike.
We should go on American Idol tonight. We'd be like the Special Olympics kids.
We'd have to have some sort of petition, though.
He's mentally retarded.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello?
Hello?
Don and Mike, I couldn't figure out if Mike sounded more like the Grease Man or Popeye.
Oh, dear, that's the second one.
All right,
Grease
everybody,
Man.
Ruined our fun.
The first one I could tolerate, the second one, you know, F it.
That's it.
You try to entertain people.
Jeez. Fun's over.
You know.
Never again.
Really. You give and give and give and this is what you get.
Yeah. See how this song sucks without us?
Enjoy it.
Yeah, I know in the car right now you're trying to do it. You can't do it like us, though.
Yeah. Hobble doogie.
Yeah.
F you, sir.
What do you guys know?
Mm-hmm.
Goodness sakes. Our brains are just slightly bigger than yours.
Our brains on ice.
Your brains
got the hard candy shell.
Shell. Don and Mike Show, hello.
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
That was the funniest thing I've ever.
Oh, you're a little late to the party now, aren't you?
Well, let him try, though.
That was hilarious. You know, but it reminds me of Dirk Diggler from Boogie Nights.
Yeah, that's in the movie Boogie Nights.
What's in the movie Boogie Nights? The only thing that I remember in the...
That song.
The song Joy.
When before he becomes Dirk Diggler and he's making.
But hold on, in the movie Boogie Nights is not someone singing along to it beautifully like we did.
And we both have our big fake schlongs on as well, like Marky Mark had.
Burt Reynolds sang it.
You know, when I saw that final scene, wasn't that one of the final scenes where he stands in front of the mirror
yes.
and he's got the prosthetic thing?
Uh-huh. The final.
I've always wanted to get one of those. Just to go, like, to a gym. Just to see what it would really feel like. And walk out there, I mean, really with, you know, something that's actually freakish.
Uh-huh.
And just go, excuse me. And I sound like Putty, too. I go, excuse me, that's my towel.
Mike, we got a break. I see every line is now ringing, and I am guessing, what is Joe doing, his balloon art again?
Yeah, Joe's bringing in his balloon penis that he is so amused by. And that's when you realize what we're dealing with there.
Yesterday during a commercial break, Joe made a balloon animal penis
uh-huh.
and came in with it sticking out of his pants like he had just invented the wheel.
He was thrilled. I've never seen, you don't see that much joy on it.
Hi, Joe!
He thought he was Neil Simon.
He had really created. He had really created something.
Oh my God! We'll be right back. We'll take your phone calls when we come right back. All of you are on the phone right now to say you guys really did great with that song. Here's the question right now: is my electricity on? Is my electricity on? Almost reminds me. I am an Xbox man. I will always be Xbox as opposed to PlayStation.
Unless, of course, they come up with something incredible.
Mike?
I don't think you can say never on that, can you?
This is what I wanted to bring up and leave you with this as we go to break. Everybody in the world has played this game except me. I stood like an idiot in Walmart for a half hour on Saturday
mm-hmm.
playing the Rockstar game for PlayStation,
yeah.
the air guitar game.
You
almost,
like it?
Almost made me want to buy a PlayStation
mm-hmm.
for the one stupid game because you get like a fake plastic guitar.
Right.
Have you seen this
thing? I've seen the... You know, the toy.
Right.
Well, I haven't seen it in practice, though.
Okay. They had the thing hooked up to the monitor in Walmart. So I'm standing there, and I say to the kid, hey, give me a shot. And you scroll through the songs, mm-hmm. and I say, oh, Freebird. I'll kick ass at Freebird. And you stand there like a dope with this stupid plastic guitar in front of you going, mm-hmm. wow. Highly addictive.
It's taking what everybody does, air guitar, and highly elevating addictive. It to an art form.
You could just get a guitar.
Highly addictive. Why? Why get a guitar when you get a video game?
And just what you're, it has actual frets, and it has actual
a guitar.
Strings on it. Does it have actual
a
strings? A fret's what you know you have on a guitar on the neck of a guitar. Does it have actual strings?
No. No, and it,
can you strum it at all or?
It's got sensors on it, mm-hmm. and it's much more. It's much more style than substance. It's much more what you do artistically than actually...
Do you have any input to the song at all? Can you do anything with it? Can you make it...
I only played it in Walmart, Mike.
Could you, like, hit a bad note?
Yeah.
I don't. Someone will call us about this.
Interesting.
I saw it. I liked it. I almost bought a PlayStation.
Call Collect.
But you weren't paying a lot of attention to it.
I couldn't find this on it, though. Well, come on, I'm being a hog here. Someone else jump in.
I'm just waiting for my part.
Spotlight on Mike.
Man, that's too high. That's too high for my register.
And...
Take it, Buzz!
Oh, it's ending. No, it's changing.
There you go, it's almost over.
Buzz.
Everybody can join in now.
All right, we wind it up here. Ready? I like that ending. I
How
really,
about them Cowboys?
I really like that ending.
Hey, we've now gone to the next cut of the CD. Not quite the sing-along.
Well, not at all.
On this Valentine's Day. You burn your bra, baby.
I am woman, hear me roll. Big blue window.
Shut up.
I agree. All right, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Mike Show.
There's this huge space between us, and it just keeps filling up with everything that we don't say to each other. What is that called?
Marriage.
Happy Valentine's Day.
The Don and Mike Show.
Almost.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
How bad you want me to get, Jack? If I get any worse, the junction office won't pass it.
You know something?
What's that?
No, what? I had a scream last night.
Go change your diaper, baby.
Welcome to the Don and Mike World of Comedy.
Okay. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Here's what we got tomorrow. It's Valentine's Dave. Super Dave. You know Super Dave.
I know him well.
Hi, guys.
Yes.
I'm not good on the Super Dave impression.
Well, everybody does it here. That's why I wasn't doing it. Everybody, you know, everybody does the Super Dave.
How you guys doing?
How's it going? Gonna take the train. That won't be affected by the ice storm.
Tomorrow, the very sexual Super Dave.
Yes.
Plus, tomorrow, we'll be doing our Hugh Grant bit. Mm-hmm. He's got his new movie coming out tomorrow.
Very good.
And the return of What My Valentine Doesn't Know won't hurt him or her.
What a better way to say I love you than by revealing a horrible secret.
$1,000 we'll give it away on tomorrow's show. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, are you taking requests today?
Buddy, what's up?
I want to hear Halloween Spooks outside my window.
That's the wrong time of the year for that. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Howdy, very well, thank you.
Hey, I got that game you're talking about on PlayStation that's called Guitar Hero.
Yes, sir.
That actually comes out for Xbox in early March.
Cool, then I don't have to buy a PlayStation.
See, you'll have it.
There you go. You're going to have Xbox
You'll have your cake and eat it, too.
And hold on, did you say you'll be able to play that on Xbox Live against
yeah,
people?
Yeah, you're going to be able to download new songs and get tired of the old ones.
Oh, fantastic.
It's a cool thing.
Thank you, my friend. That's good. Those are my real friends, Mike. My gamer friends.
Your gamers.
The gamers.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I wanted to help you out on the guitar game.
There's some more of your friends calling.
I think a gamer buddy just called me and said it's coming out on Xbox in March.
Hey, before you go on, can I tell you Anna Nicole Smith died? Oh, dear.
No, you can't say that T word.
But, you know, he responded to that pretty well.
I like the mysticism. For being a gamer nerd,
that was a pretty good comeback.
He had an outstanding comeback, and it was not a slam at us. It was about Anna Nicole Smith.
That's right.
But you can't use that disgusting word for breast, sir.
I apologize for that.
Call them when Mike and I call them.
Hey,
milkshake machines.
Hogan's. Gonzobulators.
Boobs is okay.
Titanic orbs of fun flesh.
Fun bags.
How you doing? Howdy, very well.
Hey, I got a quick story for you guys.
Radio up too loud. Sorry, we are moving on, Jack. You're all this
painted up your rosy lips and comb your pubic hair. You contemplating swinging your C somewhere.
Oh, my God, that guy.
Hold on. That got deleted out. No. That should not have been deleted.
It wasn't.
Why is the light flashing?
That's still
from before.
Oh, it's still recovering?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Well, then I apologize. Let's welcome back the original Little Debbie guy.
Is he still on the line?
No.
No. You know, I got a weird call during the break from my girlfriend who said that she wants to, she was very adamant about the fact she wants to celebrate Valentine's tonight.
Huh.
And I'm still confused by it. I'm not sure whether I'm being, you know, whether there's some sort of game being played.
She wants the high hard one, man.
It wasn't that kind of conversation. It was that she's got something planned, but she wouldn't tell me what it is. I said, well, I said, are you trying to catch me because I don't have anything for you tonight? Because I actually do have, like, a card, but the thing I got her was supposed to be delivered tomorrow, and I don't know whether I'm being set up is what maybe she heard the beginning of the show. I'm just not sure what to.
Hold on, what did she say?
I'm not going to be going home tonight.
What did she say to you again when she called?
She said, hey, how you doing? Great show as always. she said, would you mind if we did Valentine's Day tonight? If we celebrated Valentine's Day tonight? I said, well, why? She said, I just really want to. I said, well, why? She said, I really can't tell you. I've got something planned.
Oh, that's why, because she has something for you for tonight.
So you don't think it's a setup, though?
Doing something nice for you tonight.
All right. I'm not in the mood for it, though.
You're not prepared.
I'll be in the mood tomorrow night. But I do appreciate the feedback on the show.
Of course.
As I always do.
She's got something for you tonight.
Go in, make yourself comfortable in that bathtub.
Call Ian William Castle.
Why are you stabbing me? Why are you stabbing me to death?
Come
in. Stop stabbing me. Please, God, don't stab me.
I am sure that your girlfriend just is going to say to you, you know what I bet it is? Maybe it's because if we get an ice storm tomorrow, the weather might be bad. She wants to take you out tonight. Or maybe she got you something like...
I'm not going to go down that road, because if I think that I'm going to get something cool, do you know what that does? You're like me. That sets yourself up for total and utter disappointment.
What if she got you like some great strap-on or something?
Oh, now, come on. Stop it. You're trying to get me excited, and it's not going to work.
Yes, it is.
You know what I bet it is? Hold on. What did she tell you again?
A brand-new heart-shaped motorcycle.
What did she say exactly to you again?
She said, would you mind if we celebrated Valentine's Day tonight? I think she may have said during the course of the conversation, I have something planned. So,
okay, then.
Or I want to give you something. I got you something, and I want to give it to you tonight.
Maybe it's an EPT.
Hey.
How about that?
Yeah.
All signs point to yes. Wouldn't that be a happy Valentine's Day?
I'll call you tonight if that happens. I don't know which is more exciting.
This is Mike. I'm on my way to the end of the earth. Forward all of my mail to the end of the earth. Carlos.
No, Franklin. Now don't say that. I would be delighted. I would be terrified and delighted at the same time.
Which would you be more of?
I would be more terrified at this juncture in my life.
That is
delighted.
The correct answer, sir.
The fear, of course, the fear of death. Of death happening well before the fun years
but
of watching the person become a man.
You could be the Father Prince.
The Father Prince. Hello.
Prince.
You're being set up for a fisting.
Once again.
Don and Mike show. Hello. I agree. There's something funny about people just laughing, isn't
especially
there?
When it's done like this.
That's contagious.
How are you, sir? Yeah.
I agree.
Oh, Mike.
Hold on a second.
Thank you for the call.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Ever noticed the first part of gamers is gay?
I can live with that call.
Gamers.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Oops.
Line went putty.
What happened?
Putty.
What happened?
It's a payphone. So they call from a payphone.
I don't know what happened. All the
give me all that is sacred. Someone pick up the phone.
It could have been my fault. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Martin, Don,
Right.
I'm mad at both of you guys.
Who the hell is this?
Answer me. You made fun of me a few years ago. Mike, Don, you made fun of me a couple months ago when you got your new equipment. Explain yourself.
I don't know who he's trying to do an impression
of. Are you doing a Satan thing?
Are you Satan?
All right, you can take the other guy.
For you.
And of course, he's going to try his damnedest to scream through the laughing.
He's still going. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don, Mike. This is Mike in Homestead, and I just want to tell you, the segment before was one of those segments that make you wish I had TiVo on my radio so I could just keep playing it over.
The reviews are still coming in.
Hey, now this is what we were looking for.
Listen to that compliment. Right. That is a crafted compliment there.
That
was great. I love you guys.
Thank you, friend.
How do you like that? I wish I had TiVo on my radio.
Where are you calling
from?
Wherever you're calling from is the smartest city, and I hope it's not Sacramento today. Where are you calling from?
Miami.
Oh, Homestead,
Miami.
Florida. Wow. Homestead, like the place that got wiped out during the hurricane.
Not yet.
No, before, though.
Before, like, I forgot what hurricane it was, but I remember that. Homestead got a direct hit.
That was Hurricane Joe, wasn't it?
Hurricane Joe.
Hello.
And the giant pink balloon.
Hi, Joe.
It's Don and Mike Show. Hello. Hello.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, Grandpa. Wolfie, stop it. We got some dead bones. The black eyed peas.
Call with your own bit day.
That's well, every day, Boz.
That caller loved what he was doing.
Yeah, he did.
Hello there.
He was amused.
Don and Mike Show.
What?
Hello?
No.
Can you hear us?
Could this be one of those emergency situations where someone's having something terribly disastrous happen to them and they just set the phone down?
I don't know.
Let's listen.
Hold on. I'm going to turn our microphones off. Our microphones are now turned off, so they cannot hear us. This is somebody who has called us.
Really? Is that the phone with me?
Is that the radio or people talking? No, that's people talking.
Enough.
Right?
Oh, great.
Rob, call 911. This sounds like a good Valentine's Day party. This is what your girlfriend has planned for you tonight, Mike.
These people, this is my house right now.
My house. My hands. People are exceptionally retarded today, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
In a good way.
Yeah, it's the pre-holiday fun. Mm. Like it's a real holiday.
Hello? No? Oh. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, how are you, fellas?
How are you anyway?
Oh, I'm good.
Good.
Did you guys hear about... Jamie Lee Curtis and Rob Lowe getting married?
Yeah, we did.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Didn't get a chance to warn him about that big Chad Lowe gay love scene on 24.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Don, Mike.
Yes.
Palka here.
Oh, okay. Oh, Palka. Hey, Sue.
Sam. Palka.
Hey, Sue, what's happening?
Good weather, huh?
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Yes, it is Delight.
Buzz.
Yes.
Remember, you can buy nitrous at any porn shop.
Thank you. Appreciate the tip.
And Buzz, those are nice shoes you have on.
Thank you.
Those are nice shoes Buzz has on, but I'd hate to be in them.
That's new.
Good observation.
And Buzz, of course, your weed.
Northern Lights, Maui Wowie, Mendocino, Greeno, Carolina Sugar Bud, Government Medicinal. It's not bad for legal weed.
And, of course, Buzz's shoes.
Those are nice shoes Buzz has on, but I'd hate to be in them.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I just wanted to make sure that Mike thought about the fact that maybe his old lady's friend is going to visit tomorrow, and that's why it's happening tonight.
I think he's talking about your old lady's period.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. That never stopped me before.
Hey, but
good for you.
But thanks for getting...
Actually, it did. I shouldn't say that. That ain't true. I actually don't like the whole Red Wing thing, if you know what I mean. And I know that's one of the things we can't talk about in great detail, but no, not my... I don't think that... It didn't strike me as anything sexual. It's what?
It's got to be a gift.
I hope so.
Hello, Don and Mike.
I hope for that heart-shaped motorcycle.
Hello.
What was it? What is this now?
It's Bit Tuesday.
Is this,
was it somebody with a soundboard?
What are you, gay?
Yeah.
Is that somebody
I'm
using
totally
a bullhorn
for you? Oh my God!
It's Stewie from the Family Guy. Sadly, you can't understand it. It's the little baby.
Baby. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I don't know how you guys can stand to be funny when you guys realize that Barbaro had died.
Oh my God!
Barbaro's dead, and you're going to be funny.
Okay, that's it. End of phone calls for today. That's a good segment that died a real fast death.
Much like Barbaro did.
Not according to Parade magazine.
Do you put Barbaro in the trifecta with Anna Nicole?
Yes, who is the third horse to die?
Zsa Zsa can't be real happy about the prince.
When we come back, you know what we haven't gotten to and we'll have time?
What?
Our gay Harry Potter bill. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I tell you something, Wiggy. It is not easy being alcalde. Even in the best of times. And now especially with this Zorro.
Oh, yes, Zorro. We've heard about him, Santa Barbara. Someone's even written a nasty little poem about him.
Yeah. Well, if it's not, I'll tell you something, Wiggy. I'd love to hear it.
Well, if you insist.
I do.
It's called Ode to a Bandit. His clothes are bold, his mind uncanny. Give him your gold, or he'll whip your fanny.
Thank you.
The Don and Mike Show.
At Zorro the Gay Blade.
Zorro.
I love Zorro the Gay Blade.
2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits to peso. All for Zorro. Stand up and say so.
He's a fag.
On the cusp of entertainment. The Don and Mike Show.
Very close on the cusp. Tomorrow's our big Valentine's Day show. As I mentioned, starring Super Dave. Valentine's Dave.
Right.
He'll be here for tomorrow's show. There is someone who has a love message for someone in the studio.
Really?
His name is Daniel Radcliffe. He's a young man who plays Harry Potter.
Yes.
I don't have
very
time
famous.
I don't have time to explain to you why it's done like this. Just go with the flow.
All right.
All right. How you doing, boy?
Please call me by my stage name.
Hi, Harry.
Harry Potter. Harry Potter here, and I've come fresh from my new show. I'm nude.
Oh.
Now,
look at me. Totally and completely Jay Bird naked.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
You were in the headlines recently that...
Headlines, get it?
The lovable, bespectacled...
I'm Harry Potter, all grown up.
Little boy, you're a man now.
Now, I've got a stage show where I do a very full frontal nude scene. Very excited about that. Hello, Rob.
Oh, hi.
Harry Potter here.
I know.
Glad to see you.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. Happy VD. How's your trouble down there? Still sore?
Yeah.
Can I say on behalf of... the entire Potter family, so sorry. I feel somehow responsible.
I was going to say, you're not entirely blameless in this.
Might have been after our last little get-together.
You remember?
I'm so excited to be here, but I know we won't be able to have the same kind of fun we had last time.
Do you remember
after
the last
our little
one?
Trip to the Sizzler, and then we played hide-and-seek. I'd hide, and Rob would seek.
I remember the Sizzler.
Yeah.
But I don't remember the rest of it.
That's because I put something a little stronger than absinthe. In your diet, Cherry Coke.
Well, now, and I do feel the need to explain, of course, this is the theme to MASH.
Ah, Harry Potter.
Harry Morgan is the guy that was on
How
MASH.
About those books?
Right.
Some of my cupcakes, aren't they?
Kind of sounds...
Jesus Christ.
He played Colonel Potter.
He played Colonel Potter.
Right.
And you put the two together, Harry Morgan and Colonel Potter, you get
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Right. Well, Don, I've come by especially in honor of Valentine's Day, and of course... Daniel Radcliffe is nude on stage, and then I did the gay joke with Rob, but I came by with some lovely Valentine's Day treats that you can get on my very special Harry Potter website.
All right, Harry,
aren't
how are you
excited?
Doing?
Here, why don't you bring those home to Mama?
I don't want these.
Harry Potter's chocolate polyps.
Oh.
Yep, they melt in your mouth. It's a very simple truffle with a little buttercream on the outside.
I don't want that.
You don't want those? How about some Harry Potter heart-shaped hair pendants made out of my own Harry Potter hair? When I did my nude scene on Broadway, I had to shave all my body hair, and then I knitted some heart-shaped pendants that you can give that special someone. I've only managed to get two. Would you like a world exclusive?
Did I tell you how excited Rob was when he saw your picture in the newspaper?
All excited because I was naked.
Shirtless.
It's all for the show. It's all for the play. You see, the play's the thing. That's why I decided when they said, Daniel or Harry, Harry Potter, take your clothes off. Let them hit the floor. I said, no problem whatsoever. And then I said, well, what about my Valentine's Day gifts that I'm bringing by the Don and Mike show? Would you like to give that special someone my very special Harry Potter Kahlua-gram? My Harry Potter Kahlua-gram.
What's a Kahlua-gram?
I come to your house and we make white Russians. Yeah, big fun. Huh. We make them in our own special way.
Do you make your own milk?
I make my own milk. I do. I'm good that way. No. I'm staking. No, don't laugh, Rob. Oh, this is serious business.
I know.
What Harry Potter does is I make my own milk. I do it very carefully by taking a series of very special hormone shots each and every day. And then after 3 or 4 months, I begin to lactate. So I can make my very special white Russian, and I come to your house and go, Happy Valentine's Day! Here's the Kahlua, here's the milk. Are you ready to have a nice white Russian?
How long has it been since you've been with Rob?
Well, the last time I was here, and then Rob scheduled me to come by on the show about a month ago, and unfortunately, he was down in the mouth for some reason, and I said, when can I come by? He said, you can't come by. He said, why? He said, because I've got ulcerative colitis.
He does.
I said, ew. Yeah,
true.
Don't want to be there. Don't want to be there while you're dealing with that. Ooh. You notice I'm wearing now, it's a little chilly in here. I've put on my lactation cloak. Three. And my very special lactating wand.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this one sprays on command. Very exciting.
Don't you say like hobgoblins or something like that in your book?
Fiddly-dee. Fiddly-dee. Bubble, boil in trouble and all that scary crap. I've grown past that. Don't think of me as that young boy, even though I refer to myself as Harry Potter. Don't think of me as that. Think of me as a mature, aging actor. That's what I want you to think of me as. And how about this? A Harry Potter sampler. Do you want number one or number two? Come on now. Gosh, it's quiet in here.
No,
hi, how's everybody doing?
I'm frightened.
How about a Harry Potter colonic irrigation? To good health, everyone.
Maybe it could have helped me.
Very exciting. And my new sex movie, Look Who's All Grown Up.
Oh, no.
It's me, Harry Potter.
Harry?
Yes. I'm here, Don. I'm over here now. Yes, Don, what can I do for you?
When you're on stage.
Uh-huh. When I'm on stage, I'm free. Oh, you brought up the picture.
Dude, a photo
now,
from Equus.
If you'll notice, I'm almost all nude. Mm-hmm. Equus. And I'd like to say that's a wonderful play about a horse. Unfortunately, we had to put Barbaro down.
Yes, that is sad.
We were going for that star quality. Unfortunately,
that.
He had a bad hoof.
Look at that picture. Look at how tight and ripped you are.
That's me. I've been doing sit-ups. I do 3,000 a day. 3,000 sit-ups a day, each and every day. And then I do crunches after that. I do. And I don't eat a thing. All I eat is an apple slice and a little teaspoon of peanut butter the entire day. And if I feel too full, I stick a feather down my throat. That's how I keep that incredible body. And I'm ripped. Of course, my biceps aren't what they should be. I'm trying to get them to be a little more muscular, too. Yes. But I want to have a Peter Pan waif-like quality to me. That's what I'm going for in the Radcliffe era. Uh-huh.
How's your hip?
My hip is bad. A third replacement.
No kidding.
3 hip replacements.
Wow. Are you still
confusing because I sound like an old man, but I'm a young, nude boy.
Are you still suffering from Hogwarts?
Hogwarts, very, very bad, especially where you don't like to look, if you know what I mean.
Oh. I never did like to look.
At one point, they were so bad, I was actually dragging myself along the floor like a dog.
On the carpet?
Very nasty situation.
Speaking of asses. Hey,
yes.
Rob?
Yeah.
Do me a favor?
Sure.
Would you just turn around for a second?
Oh, do I have to?
Please.
This is so awkward.
Just turn around and present.
Look at the thing on the wall.
Oh. Can I speak seriously? May I Can you? May I speak seriously?
Can you?
Yeah.
Can I tell you something, friend?
Yes.
All the disease in the world.
Yes.
All the disease in the world, yes, won't make that any less attractive to me.
Not even the irritation?
I congratulate you on a fine presentation.
Thank you.
Can you do it again for me? One more time, please.
Do I have to?
Turn to the south. Turn to the south.
It would make her
happy. Attaboy. Oh, I love it when you bend your knees.
Yeah, sure.
That's a good boy. That's my boy.
You know what?
That's good. Way to internalize your pressure, son.
I remember you saying that some of that evening is coming back to me.
There you go. Uh-huh. Well, when you came to, you were a little upset, but I didn't give you that problem you had. That's your diet. Modify that. Well, more fiber. Eat some granola bars, for Christ's sake.
Ironically, less fiber.
Now, what I'd like you to do is go on the Daniel Radcliffe diet, and so maybe you can get abs that look like his. Be like me, Harry Potter, pasty white, and abs of steel.
Do you think I need more dairy?
I think you need to turn around one more time. Just once more. I won't make you do it again. I swear to God, Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
Sweetness. That's my Hershey Kiss.
Yeah.
Right there.
Sure.
Absolutely. Man, oh, man. That's better than Russell Stover.
We're not going out tonight.
No. I'd love to see you, Russell Stover.
You would?
Yeah. Sure. You're not going to come back to the hotel?
No.
I'm staying at the Comfort Suites.
Again?
I like the name.
Yeah.
Not real fancy, but I like the name. Comfort Suites. That's why I like staying in a hotel in the first place.
Thought the name was inappropriate for you.
I just like it when you turn around.
Well,
I like that big CBS lanyard you have hanging out of your pocket, too.
Would you like to tuck my lanyard?
Oh, boy. Eddie Bauer's dressed you well today.
He has. I'm going to back away now.
Good stuff. So long.
Bye.
Don't need to back up.
Yes, I do.
Mmm. Tasty morsels abound. Harry Potter here. Happy Valentine's Day to you and yours. Looking forward to the big evening.
Sure.
Thanks so much. Gotta run. Wish I could stay longer. Rob?
Yes?
I'll send a car for you at the conclusion of the broadcast.
All right.
Please. And when you get into that cab, back in. So long, suckers.
There he goes. Harry Potter.
Very strange. It's a young boy. I don't understand why he sounds like
magical
a...
magical moment when
sounds like an old man.
He's matured so much.
He sees Rob's ass.
Yes, he loves it.
And he gets real serious-like.
Seems to go down real serious-like, Elvis. Then one slap. Then a backhand.
Then another.
And another.
Well, thank you, Harold.
Harold Potter.
Yeah. And thank you, Buzz, for pulling that thing up on the intro net.
Certainly.
That's almost total frontal nudity there. I guess if you pan down a little bit, you'd see a little more.
I'm not sure Buzz had to pull it up. That's his wallpaper.
My screensaver. Ever since AJ grew up.
Oh, hold on a second. News hour. News hour, for God's sakes. Buzz, do you have news about the weather?
I actually don't.
Yay!
I thought we wouldn't talk about the weather or Anna Nicole Smith. How's that?
Great. And if you take Bush out of the equation, I will be a huge fan of the entire newscast today.
It's a hat trick. No Bush either.
No
Bush.
Well, I meant George Bush.
Yeah, that's the one I meant.
The other Bush is okay.
Oh, there's a Bush-free newscast.
There's a lot of that.
You know who else likes it Bush-free?
Hi. Thanks for opening the door again so I could pop back in. Ladies and gentlemen. Daniel Radcliffe here. Look at my wonderful abs. And Rob?
Go!
Happy BD.
Unhappy.
Wow.
Unhappy.
He's wound up. He's very excited, clearly.
I could listen to that all day. I really could.
Thank you. I'll be here till the end of the broadcast. Buzz, you've got me for the news.
Thank you. I'm excited about it.
Whoop-de-doo. Don and Mike to break. Jesus, press the button.
This is the Don and...
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
The sacred day. The day for Don Geronimo and Michael Mellon.
All right, let me see. It's no Anna Nicole.
Right.
No George Bush.
No W. Right.
And what was
no
it?
No ice. No weather.
No weather.
Right. Ice storm.
All right, now here is... Everything else is Frank. Hello, Francis.
Well, I'll tell you. Hi, Don and Mike. Here's the trouble right here.
What?
We're not taking enough naps, especially at work. Researchers at Harvard and the University of...
Hi, Joe!
Okay, some of us. And at the University of Athens in Greece, as well as at Harvard, they've discovered, these researchers, that people who nap for a half hour, at least three times a week...
Joe.
...have a one-third lower risk of heart attack. Mike? And Mike's taking his nap now.
This
carefully controlled scientific study involved nearly 24,000 people of all ages.
Of Halle Berry.
Halle Berry. To quote the lead researcher, my advice is if you can nap, do it. If you have a sofa in your office, you can relax.
Those are nice shoes Bush has on, but I'd hate to be in them.
I was never a good napper. Even when we were doing the morning show, I couldn't do the afternoon nap.
Really?
I wasn't very good at that. Were you a napper when we were doing the morning show?
I'm an excellent napper.
Yeah, during the time we had off, I took a lot of naps.
Mm-hmm. I can catch like a nice 20-minute power nap and feel outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
I normally do it between 5 and 6 on the show.
Recharges you. So do I.
I thought you did yours for the last hour of the show.
The good news is the father of former American Idol contestant Kelly Pickler is no longer behind bars. The bad news is, after being released less than a year ago, he's been out of prison a little too long. After doing 3 years for stabbing a neighbor, Clyde Bo Pickler has been arrested again.
Clyde Bo Pickler.
This time for threatening and assaulting his wife, Danielle, with a steak knife.
I took the butcher knife, put it up to her neck. Bo, you've said the magic words. Steak knife.
Steak knife. Yeah. I'm no lawyer.
When you want to do it right, get yourself a steak knife.
You better make sure it's serrated.
I'm no lawyer, but I'm pretty sure that's a felony. Want more Idol chatter? Now, Belinda Carlisle of the Go-Go's says she, too, was approached about replacing Paula Abdul.
Okay, off you go.
And that was 2 years ago. Go. Belinda tells PlanetOut.com. Belinda tells PlanetOut.com, it's just not my thing. I'd rather listen to music that comes from a more organic place, you know? Yes, Belinda.
What, like her crotch?
I know.
Like Belinda Carlisle's
album? Crotch songs? Belinda Carlisle?
They offered to pay her in pastry.
It's very pretty.
I love her song. I know what it is. I have a sweaty crotch.
That's a good one.
That's a really good one. By the L.A. Go-Go's.
The album is Crotch Songs.
No, the producers of American Idol have apparently decided to love the one they're with. RealityTVMagazine.com reports that the producers have started editing the show more carefully, especially where Paula appears to be drunk or over-medicated. Paula has firmly denied both of those things.
Yeah, you don't mess with the winning formula. At this point, you don't take her out of that.
No, and I think the fact that she is that way makes her more endearing to the American public.
Yeah. And you know what's going to make it good tonight and tomorrow night? They're going to go from whatever the ridiculous amount is,
137.
By the time tomorrow night is over, they're going to be down to 24.
Oh, wow.
So they're going to get rid of 110 people on the next two shows.
That's cold.
Please, God, turn my electricity back on.
That is on your mind.
There's Idol to watch. Speaking of fun.
And there's a new house on tonight, too.
Yes, that's a good show.
Please, God, my TiVo don't work if the electricity's not on.
A cheerleader who feels no pain.
Tonight on House. What is he, TV Guide? What if instead...
Yes.
What if he just spewed that out.
Yeah.
I'm excited. A cheerleader who fears no pain.
Tonight on House.
I'm Rob Spiewak for the TV Guide Network.
I've been dreaming of that scenario for 30 years.
What if instead of getting artificial implants, women could just grow their own? It's already been done. Scientists have harvested stem cells from the women's own fat and encouraged them to grow breast tissue. They look, and perhaps more importantly, feel more natural than the artificial ones.
Well, let's get a big truckload of that to 10800 Main Street.
you know the artificial ones, like the ones on Pam Anderson, like the ones where you keep expecting to find a trademark for Wilson Spalding or Voight.
Right.
A homegrown implant should be available through plastic surgeons within the next 5 years. In theory, at least, the technology could work with other body parts.
Oh.
Wow.
Like what? Like what? Penis
Dirk
and
Diggler.
Ass? Like penis and ass,
Dirk
right?
Dirk Diggler, yes. I would say wherever you want, I guess.
Penis, ass, and breast.
I would have brought up penis. I wouldn't have brought up the other thing.
No.
Ass?
It's just interesting that you brought that up.
Funny, you
Why did you bring that up?
It's because I was raped by a horse when I was a boy on CSI last week. Remember, there was the scene
where implants.
There was a corpse that had
saline
implants.
Wasn't it Eads that said that? I'm a little big for me.
Eads was kneading them in his hands.
Mm-hmm. George Eads.
Eads kneading.
I'd put some of those cells in James Cromwell's nose.
Letting churches into our public schools to teach, what could possibly go wrong?
Everything.
Dateline right here in Rockville, Maryland. For 9 years now, the county school system has let the Rockville Pregnancy Center teach abstinence and lessons about sexually transmitted diseases. And for the entire...
Hey, you know something?
No, what?
I had a dream last night.
And for the entire 9 years, those lessons have been spreading disease, because the lesson involves passing a piece of chewed gum from student to student to student in an exercise that was supposed to demonstrate the efforts of peer pressure.
Oh, yes. There were still plenty of questions. And as usual, some guys thought they knew all the answers.
As usual.
So the dope pushes her into the water. What'd she get, man? Maybe she was having her period or something.
Yeah. You learn so much.
And it's that announcer, too.
I'm there. I brought some charts.
Charts.
Maybe this will help. The female reproductive system and fertilization.
Hey, look. Pollywog.
Now, wait a minute.
Pollywog. Pollywog.
Hey, look.
Pollywog.
Pollywog.
Hey, you know something? Pollywog.
But everybody doesn't develop at the same time.
Oh.
In the same way. Jim, for instance, is bigger all over than you, Pete.
Yeah.
But that just means he started filling out earlier. You'll catch up. George now is growing tall instead of filling out. Mike is more like Jim.
Thank you.
Ben will be tall, probably.
I know.
And big all over.
Ben.
Well, everybody is just naturally a little different.
Yep.
Yeah. But where do these glands come in?
Well, it's the sex glands, or testes, that actually get these changes going.
Thank you, boys.
Who wants to go out for a soda? We've learned so much. So finally, after 9 years, a parent complained about this passing the chewed gum from mouth-to-mouth thing, and this faith-based germ-spreading pregnancy center's been kicked out of the Montgomery County schools.
ABC gum already been chewed.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Pete?
When did the girl start having these periods?
When she reaches puberty, around 13.
That means she can have a baby then?
Yes, that's right.
You and I, sometimes I think back then in the day, you and I sitting in that classroom.
Oh, my God.
I mean, if it's bad now,
there was giggling.
Two old men like you and me, back in that classroom, I mean, that would have been a suspension.
Here.
I'm laughing at it.
This is what happens when the egg is fertilized. The sperm meets the egg in this tube. Then the fertilized egg becomes attached to the uterus wall. And the cells multiply and grow into a baby.
Hey, you know something?
No, what?
I had a dream last night.
Mr. Source, Mr. O'Mara, get up and leave the classroom now.
Studies have shown, by the way, that teaching abstinence to teenagers is a lot like trying to teach them not to have acne. We do, however, need sex education, especially since one out of three of us thinks pregnancy can be prevented if the woman jumps up and down afterward. One out of three of us. Same number of people believe that if she washes down there afterward, that will do the trick. The same number, one out of three.
No amount of scrubbing will take care of that, Buzz.
Soaking doesn't help. Perfumes just cover it up.
On the guy, look, no holes in my hands. Bring it on, Jesus.
The same number, one out of three, believe that all a woman has to do to keep from getting pregnant is go to the bathroom afterward. Half of us don't even know when a woman is at her most fertile.
Is that number one or number two?
Which? The sound effect or what I was talking about?
No, when you said the urban legend that a woman can...
I guess the presumption would be number one, but either one would be wrong.
Thank you, Buzz.
There is no...
I like the serious discussion we just had about that.
Dr. Elston.
I believe number one. Thank you, Billy. You're in my wheelhouse. You're going to get serious.
Thank you, Billy.
Wheelhouse.
Billy Reed.
Anyway, a woman is, as it turns out, most fertile approximately 2 weeks before her, thank God. And 89% of us didn't know that a man's seed can survive inside a woman for up to a...
Baby.
Whoa! Difficult enough just to remove it from a sweater. And that brings us to the cop who pulled over a sweater-wearing stripper in Irvine, California. Even with the DNA evidence, the jury sided with the cop.
Like my body.
It was 2 weeks before Christmas a couple of years ago. Lucy had finished her shift at the Captain's Cabaret. She'd already had a pretty bad night.
Doesn't that sound like a crappy strip joint?
Yeah, it sounds
just really... having that name, the Captain's Cabaret. Doesn't that sound like ugly, old, haggy strippers?
No.
And her name is Lucy.
Yeah,
Lucy. Lucy at the Captain's Cabaret.
Hi, can I have another Marlboro Red, please?
Probably her stage name. Anyway, a bad day for Lucy. Her boss sent her home after she did some coke in the ladies' room and tried to sexually assault a female customer there.
Mrs. Carmichael, those are lovely pasties.
31-year-old Officer David Alex Park saw Lucy's Beamer swerving, so he pulled her over.
Lucy!
She told him she didn't have a driver's license. That's when she reached out to him in a happy ending kind of way. Yeah. Officer Park was fired for this and hit with 3 felony charges of sexual battery. And even though there was, as it turns out, battery acid everywhere, the jury decided not to send him to prison. A jury of his peers, 11 men and 1 woman, decided that Officer Park had faced enough agony for his ecstasy. The jury also knew that this coked-up slut, Lucy, in her Beamer, had just successfully sued the Irvine Police Department for $400,000. But wait, there's more.
Okay.
This is not the first time that Officer Park has pulled over this Lucy. He even called her after that first time, 4 months ago. And before all of this began, Officer Park ran a check on the license plates of all the girls who dance at the Captain's Cabaret.
Oh, so Officer Park, kind of a bad guy.
Apparently so, but the jury sided with him.
Because of Lucy.
What did you say about battery acid?
I was using that as a term for euphemism. Gentleman's relish.
Right.
I know, I'm aware.
Hey, Putty's calling back.
It is the hotline. This could be important.
God damn. You know, we have the slowest bunch back there, except let an inside line ring. And they are the fastest to jump. Hello?
Breaking news.
Oh, it's my girlfriend.
Hi, hey. I know. It's good news.
Hey, is power back on?
All you have to do, you said a prayer, God heard it, you've got power.
Thank you, Jesus.
There you go.
Thank you, Jesus. Have a good dinner. Have American Idol tonight. We'll watch House.
You got your power back. This has made your night.
Yeah,
you're
baby.
Healed.
Yeah, you're the greatest, baby.
Okay.
Okay, bye, honey.
I'm working real hard at putting it back on, too.
Way to go. At which power pole did you climb up there to get that done,
actually,
Janet?
Actually, I had to climb up every one.
Oh, very good. Good job.
Hey, Janet, what do you think?
Wires, because there was a dead wire down. But I'm done.
What do you think Carla, Mike's girlfriend, meant when she called? Yeah, tell Janet what Carla said.
Carla called me, and she said she wants to celebrate Valentine's Day tonight. And I said, well, why? I said, I thought we were going to do it tomorrow. No, just bear with me. I want to celebrate it tonight.
Do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing for Mike tonight?
Now, is she an assertive type?
Assertive? Yes and no. Yeah, I mean, she knows what she wants.
Uh-huh. Well, if she knows that she wants you, she might be popping the question to you tonight.
Popping the question to me?
Yeah.
Popping the question?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, my.
No. What did we ask?
Hey, you know what? No. You're fantastic like that. I'll see you later, honey.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Because the thing is, Mike will really think about that, man. That's what's great about that. That's right. Maybe she'll give you a diamond. And you'll open the box and you go, Carla, you went to Jared.
4K. But a cop never knows what he might find when he opens your car door. In Cape Cod, Massachusetts, officers investigating an accident opened the door and discovered the cause of this wreck. Ann Biglin's Ford Focus was so full of trash.
What's the name again?
Ann,
two Ann?
Yeah, Ann hyphen Ann. Same spelling both times. Ann.
It's like Tom.
Sort of, only worse. Ann Biglin's Ford Focus, so full of trash, the officer couldn't see or find the accelerator or the brake. So how could Ann find it?
Hey, Rob Grippy.
It was this mountain of garbage, fast food and snack wrappers mostly, that allowed Ann to lose control of her car and careen through a parking lot, over a curb, across a freeway, into a Ford Explorer, and then into a gas station's big flower pot.
Ann.
Besides negligence, Ann is charged with failing her state emissions inspection and failure to use care in backing.
See, now why, you know, you're doing a wonderful news show here,
mm-hmm.
and I'm more focused on the lads in the other room. When the hotline rings, mm-hmm. immediately they jump on that line.
Mm-hmm.
They jump on it when I wanted to pick it up on the air because
right.
I thought it might have been Putty calling back
right.
or whatever. Buzz starts talking. I see all of our request lines are ringing with our listeners. They all those lines just because nobody answered that phone. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand what you're saying.
Fellas, I hate to bring it down to Burger Chef, but this is what I'm going to bring it down. It's the first fast food restaurant I ever worked at when I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
The customer comes first.
Mm. Absolutely.
Answer the goddamn request lines with the same vigor that you answer the private line. That is, unless, of course, we're waiting on a celebrity to call in, at which point you will all stand back as if it's a piece of radioactive material that you don't want to get near to. But let it be late in the show and that inside line rings. My God, it might be Joe, and his wife might be calling to say they're having barbecue chicken tonight. Gotta pick up that phone like nobody's business.
Well, I wish I could be as upset about that as you, Don, but I'm getting married tonight.
And guys, pep talk over.
Tonight.
Great job back there, guys.
So, this Valentine thing.
Yeah, it was.
A lot of people hate it, and with good reason. Some people hate it because they've loved and lost. Some people hate it because they think it's a holiday manufactured by the greeting card companies.
Thank you, Joe. Joe was answering the calls back there. Appreciate it. Thank you, Joe.
Congratulations, Joe. Always a class act.
Well, the greeting card companies have heard your complaints, so they've come out with the entire lines of cards based on the hatred of the holiday they created. A bloody ripped out heart, or one that says love bites the hand that feeds it, or the one that says love kills slowly. Anti-Valentine cards. You only have a few hours left to make your deadline.
I was on Route 50 coming back from Ocean City, and noticed that place, that barbecue place, Red Hot and Blue.
Red Hot and Blue, yes. Uh-huh.
I love the sign.
One right over the Bay Bridge.
Uh-huh. Right. I love the sign that they had outside.
Used to be my exit.
That's right. It said, bring your significant other in for Hallmark Day.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, and no. I liked it, Mike, because it was a dig. What they're saying is, they're saying the same thing as we are.
Right.
Hey, bring your honey in for it. No, it's not Valentine's Day. It's made up Hallmark Day.
You think they were doing that, or do you think it was a legitimate promotion?
Oh, I took it as, like, they looked at it like we do. Mm-hmm.
I hope they have that kind of sense of humor.
I think that's what they meant, yeah.
The sign is pretty hip.
I took it that way.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And they got pigs on their windmill, John.
I thought there are pigs. There are pigs.
Pigs on their windmill.
I forgot. I'm speaking with Mr. Travelog. That no matter where you're driving in America, if Rob has been on the road,
right.
I've been driving. My God, one time we were going somewhere in upstate Pennsylvania,
right.
And we were on was it a Highway 15, whatever, going past like Gettysburg, Pennsylvania,
right?
I remember.
And
it was Gillsburg.
And I went past this town. And I saw there were a bunch of Confederate flags,
right.
And big signs, serious signs that said, like, you know, the South is right. So I thought, God damn, this is like 5 hours from home. I'm in the middle of nowhere in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to call Rob up. So I call him up and say, hey, Rob, you're not going to believe this. I'm all the way in Pennsylvania. I'm on Route 15, and I'm going past this place. And before I can even finish, he says, yeah, there's a giant Confederate flag there, and there's a pancake shop on the left-hand side of the road.
Paul's Pancake Barn.
I swear to God.
Well, do you know why he knows where the pigs are at the Red Hot and Blue Rib House now?
Why?
Do you know what it used to be? And don't interrupt me here. It used to be the Old Mill Pancake House.
Oh, that's
right. That's what that rest. That's why you remember it.
No, it predates me. The reason I know it is having done that Route 50 trip a million times with two kids.
Right.
You better have something to point at every 2 miles.
That used to be the Old Mill Pancake House.
But
before it was Red Hot and Blue.
You can be driving on virtually any road,
mm-hmm.
And if Rob has been on that road...
If a flapjack has been served on it, Rob Spiewak knows where it is.
You cook it on a griddle and I'll remember it. But they got pigs on their windmill.
Here I am calling them and saying, hey, I think I have found like the Confederate part of Pennsylvania.
Right.
And all he was concerned with, he said, are you on Highway 15 right now? I said, yes. He said, have you passed whatever pancake house? And I'm like,
Paul's Pancake
House. What is Paul's Pancake House? You can't miss it.
Yeah, it's like having a waffle-making GPS.
Like, for instance, do you know yesterday, just because it's the way his mind works, right. When I was talking about that Pop's Joke Shop on the boardwalk in Ocean City,
right.
I know Rob had been noodling it through all day because he said to me, during a break, he said, exactly where is it on the boardwalk? And I said, well, it's not on the boardwalk per se. It's like a block off by First Street. And he went, aha. Because I know in your mind,
uh-huh.
you had been picturing the boardwalk,
the entire
and you
boardwalk.
Could not find that store on your mind in your map.
In my head, it operates like a computer at CTU, just constantly opening windows, and I couldn't find it anywhere.
Can you imagine how incredible it would be if that information was useful?
Wouldn't it be great?
And don't forget,
in many ways, I've found a use for it.
Don't forget, a mysterious illness strikes a cheerleader tonight on House.
That's right.
I knew that.
We spewed that out just like it was the TV guy.
Fox Television, 9/8 Central.
Sometimes this time of year, couples actually get into fights, and that's what we'll talk about when we come back.
Aha.
Hey, Rob?
Yes?
No cheating now.
Okay.
Go stand by Mike for a second.
All right.
I bet you're not good at this.
I bet you're right, because these are going to... I only know shows that I follow, I guess.
What is the plot tonight on...
Tonight.
On, yeah. Boston Legal.
Oh, Denny Crane gets arrested for illegal importation of fat.
My God. He's right. Alan defends Denny, who has been arrested for illegally shipping human fat. How did you know that?
I watched that program.
Well, so do I, but I don't know that.
Do you why? Okay, how about do you know what's happening tonight on Law & Order SVU?
Oh, isn't tonight the one where someone does something bad and they have to investigate it?
Oh, see, he doesn't watch
it. I don't know that one.
And you notice, yeah. Not only did he not know it, he diminished it because he doesn't watch it.
Carrie watches that one.
Uh-huh. Do you,
she might know.
Separately.
You watch American Idol, of course.
I do. Tonight, the first night in Hollywood.
You know, we'll have to pick another night when there's better stuff on TV.
Well, now he'll study.
No, I don't think he will. I think he'll play the game, honestly.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I encounter stuff. I see the promos.
He knows, he absorbs.
Mm-hmm.
He sees it.
Rob, what can you tell me about the movie? It's on Turner Classic Movies tonight. Cactus Flower.
Cactus Flower? Sounds like a Western. What is, I'm going to guess 1958?
You are so wrong. That's from 1969 with Walter Matthau and
Goldie Hawn.
Didn't say it in the paper, but I was just going to say the same thing. Mm-hmm. Goldie Hawn.
I got it wrong.
Cactus Flower.
You got it wrong.
Lolly with that big brain.
Hold on there, Buzz. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Mimsy.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello, you're on the air.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Hello, radio gods.
Hi, honey.
Mike.
Yes.
I know what Carla's going to do tonight.
What's that? I'm sorry, I'm still doing my Walter Matthau. What can we do for you, miss? Miss, I'm locked in this hotel room. Where's Jack Lemmon?
What is Carla going to do for Mike?
Well, I bet you she T-vote Oprah.
Oh, really?
Oh, God.
Come on now.
I'm sorry we took this call.
Think anything else funny to say?
Well, Dr. Oz was on today.
Doctor who?
Dr. Oz.
Dr. Oz.
Dr. Oz. Who the hell is he?
Well, there was a discussion about things that shouldn't be...
Hold on just a second. Wait. Please, Rob. I'm having trouble hearing. Could you translate?
Delighted.
All right. One more thing. Who was on today? Just tell me what it was.
And okay? Please say it seriously.
Dr. Oz was on Oprah.
Uh-huh. Now you're being quiet.
Right, I'll turn the tape off.
Of course she is.
Go ahead. I was playing a tape. Go ahead.
Yeah, I heard that.
All right. There's no tape. Go ahead.
There was a discussion as to what things should not be entered into the JJ.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what does that have to do with me?
Well, I think it might be interesting.
What?
It might be interesting.
All right, thank you.
She didn't even say goodbye.
I thought that went well.
I do too.
Making friends.
Touch a hand, make a friend.
We got to hit a break, right, Buzz?
Yes, we do.
We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Don likes them. Don and Mike.
Now here's Buzzy. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. We do a lot of analyzing of love around Valentine's Day. Sometimes this leads a couple to their worst fight of the year. The thing that couples fight most about, you won't be surprised to learn, is money. According to a new nationwide survey, housework is the second biggest bone of contention. And sex is the third biggest subject of a couple's dispute. The truth is, all three of them rank about the same. Together, they make up the pie that is couples arguing.
Pie.
Interesting note about spending. 82% of us hide purchases because we know it's such a touchy subject. But clearly.
It's a vintage RCA microphone, and I have it buried in the backyard.
I've been a willing participant in some of those charades with Robbie.
So have the women.
You know what? You got to stand by him. I mean, yeah. I throw him under the bus a lot of times, but if he wants to buy something, and I threw him under the bus about the Wayne Newton tickets,
right?
And then said how much money he spends on his goddamn microphones.
Mm-hmm.
But I know this. Is your wife listening right now?
She never does.
Those microphones give him more joy than she ever has. So
I know.
So why begrudge the boy?
Yeah.
And sometimes he would say to me, I bought this. Don't tell.
Shh.
Now, why would I tell? Why would I tell? The microphones make you happy. You have a microphone that is used by Gene Draper on the Match Game that makes you happier than your wife has
ever.
I will tell you this. Beer,
and he approves of it.
I know he does, and everyone should.
He didn't approve of it the last time he was talking about it.
Beer, television, and microphones, they will never let you down. Can you say that about your wife?
Here's the weird dance, Mike. I didn't approve.
Still trying to figure it out.
I didn't approve of his microphones when I was trying to point out what a cheap bastard he is.
Right.
How he could have actually spent some of his Scrooge McDuck.
Scrooge.
He could have spent some of his hard-earned shekels to buy us something for Christmas.
Right.
He did.
Right.
He gave us a picture that he took of Wayne Newton.
Okay.
So he deserves to have his balls busted.
Right.
On the other hand, his wife won't let him buy anything, so if he's got to sneak to buy those microphones,
right,
and that's where you get the trade-off. You know what? Yeah. I'm with you, Rob.
When's the last time, Mike, you sat in your easy chair and stared at your significant other for a while and just said, God, that's really great.
And you do that with your microphones.
Every night.
That's a good thing. That's wonderful.
They are gorgeous.
They're just lined up looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't talk back.
No, but you can talk into them, and you can talk to them. And they make you sound rich. That sound. I should take a picture of them and bring it in so you can see.
Oh, and wow. You're right, Mike. It's a weird double standard. If he had only put out some coin for our Christmas gifts,
yes,
it would have been a moot point.
So if he put out coin for our Christmas gifts, you would have approved of the microphones back then.
No, I even approved back then.
Okay.
It was just the fact he was being a cheap bastard with you and I.
This is true.
His masters.
That's right.
Wait until this Christmas.
Ah. Microphones, huh?
Right, for everybody.
And that'll be re-gifting. And those shoes we pay no attention to. We never ask our wives or girlfriends when or where they bought those.
Those are nice shoes Buzz has on, but I'd hate to be in them.
They've hidden a few purchases as well, as I did when I bought these shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are at Valentine's Day, and back on the subject of office romances. Maybe you heard the results of the CareerBuilder.com survey that said 43% of us have had an office romance, and that a third of those who have end up marrying that person. Oh, but there's a dirty little secret revealed in that survey as well. 22% of us, nearly one in four, had that office romance with someone who was married. Also revealed in this annual survey.
You know, there is a big, awkward silence there, and I know a lot of you are probably wondering why, and I would just like to say, totally off topic, I know I speak for Mike and everyone, mm-hmm, our very best wishes to the son of Andy Reid,
Bill. Also revealed in this annual survey, 14% of us have dated our boss. Women are 50% more likely to do that than men.
Mm-hmm.
And two-thirds of us say that if we were doing someone at work, we wouldn't mind if the rest of the office knew about it.
Oh, the Reeds.
Always interesting, these surveys.
The poor Reeds.
Yes, love is a strange, strange creature, but you don't have to tell that to presidential hopeful Rudy Giuliani.
I don't know why I'm thinking about, you know, Reed while you're talking about somebody having an interview.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Me either. It's like stream of consciousness. Excuse me.
Just something popped into your head.
I've got Reed on the brain.
That's odd. Presidential hopeful Rudy Giuliani knows that love is strange. He was married to his second cousin for 14 years.
You know, get over that. Pay that bill.
That and other less interesting details in a document obtained by SmokingGun.com. That document is a study by Giuliani's own people of his weirdness factor, as they call it, and other political...
He looks like he could be weird.
Other political...
Excuse me. My God, what was it? Speaking of weird, what just came out of my right lung? A little Billy Reed.
Another Achilles heel, says the report, is that Rudy is a Republican who also happens to be pro-choice. Jack Bauer, meanwhile, is being stalked by professional weirdo Andy Dick. A Dick, who had a role on TV's news radio but no real discernible talent, has been trying to get close to 24's Kiefer Sutherland. In his latest pathetic attempt, it was at the SAG Awards a week ago Sunday.
The last chance you've got to talk to me before I have to hurt you.
This is my effing friend, Andy kept yelling at people.
My wife and daughter almost died today.
And then he begged...
How many people that trusted you lost their life today because you were doing your job?
And then he begged Kiefer for a photo and an autograph.
See, Andy Dick is... He's going to be Anna Nicole, I think.
What have you done?
Kiefer's done some pretty strange things under the influence of alcohol, but he will likely never do Andy Dick.
You probably don't think that I could force this towel down your throat.
Chances are we'll have Andrew on next week.
Oh, fantastic.
Well, you have no idea how far I'm willing to go to acquire your cooperation.
And security people literally carried Andy Dick off the set of the Jimmy Kimmel Show last week after he wouldn't stop fondling fellow guest Ivanka Trump, the Donald's daughter.
Did you see that by any chance? I did not.
It was pretty disturbing.
I'd like to see it. I want to say something about Andy Dick.
Yes.
When I watch him, for instance, on Letterman,
yeah,
when his appearances are either car wreck or side-splittingly funny.
One or the other.
The only thing that I can even compare that to is when Andy Kaufman used to come on Letterman.
True.
I'll say that about Andy Dick. When he goes on that show,
yep.
It's either he's side-splittingly funny or he's so honest that he just digs himself in this gigantic psychological hole, and Letterman just throws the dirt on top of him.
And when he was on Kimmel, he was in the other chair. He'd moved over, and he wouldn't stop handling her, touching her knee, touching her leg. They finally had security. Literally, security carried him off. It was hysterical.
In sports, Tiki Barber's been hired by NBC to do Sunday Night Football and the Today Show, where he says he's looking forward to reporting on health, science, and technology.
He is very well-spoken. Hello, you know what I mean. Speak code.
Joe Biden.
Thank you, Barber.
And he's clean.
Very, very
clean. He's clean.
You know it'll be a good ending when it begins with an angry German tourist. Clearly, he was not pleased with all the security at the airport in Manila, the Philippines. He was on his way to... He was on his way to Frankfurt when he got to the x-ray machine. That's when he'd had enough. And to protest, as only an angry German tourist can, he dropped his pants. Speaking of Frankfurters, he dropped all of his pants.
Oh, my.
He was detained on charges of lasciviousness, even though on Qantas, that'll get you a stewardess. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
No!
I said, look, we gotta go, everybody.
Look at my bond.
Mike, you'll hear all about your marriage tomorrow on the show.
Yes, I'll you'll be the first to know.
Congratulations.
We gotta go, everybody. Unless there's an ice storm, we'll see you tomorrow.
Very good.
Good day to you, sir.
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 And I just got this in. The Camptown racetrack is 5 miles long.
Bye.
This is the Don and Mike Show.